about the situation and the train
on which radio.
Let's all just be totally honest about that now. Because so many of us are going off into the world totally unprepared. Conditioning our children to be totally unprepared. And you're going up against the children of dominant society and immigrants from other places, their children, who are prepared. Because they have to be honest with their kids. Baby, we leaving Vietnam. What for? Because they want more money in America. We're leaving India. We're leaving Bangladesh. We're leaving Pakistan. Because we found a place with more money. The telephone lines are now open. The number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your personal access code to the blackest radiogram on the planet today. And by blackest, I mean most intelligent. And this is your opportunity to give us a call. Of course, call early, call often. Okay, don't call often, but if you call bright and early, I can extend you the best amount of time. We had a number of people who said that they wanted to speak with us last night. This will be your opportunity to get in. So definitely, I've gone ahead and opened them up so you can go ahead and start calling now. We take them first come, first served, as long as the board doesn't get all the way full out, because when that happens, then I can't even tell who was first anymore. So I do recommend, if you do want to speak with us, this is definitely the opportunity for you to be speaking to us now. This is not about what other people would do. This is about you. And have you actually thought about that? What you actually would do if you were put in that situation? Or are you still passing around a religion to your children, too? And I'm not beating up on religion. That's not what I'm doing. You can have any religious belief that you want to have. What I'm saying is that we have failed to prepare ourselves and prepare our children for what we're actually going to ask of them. We're treating it like it's make-believe. We're treating it like it's a matter of opinion, and it's not. We act as if we would not do unsavory things for money. And if I can get you to do one unsavory thing, it doesn't even be a tremendous one. If I can get you to do one that is a bit unsavory, I can get you to do the rest. In the porn industry, they practically never start the girls off, you know, doing everything. They practically never start newcomers off like that. They practically never do. They start them off doing light things, girl, girl, then they bring in girl, guy. Then they move on to anal and all the other fetishes that they want. They just start her out with a little bit. Because if we can get her to do girl, the real point is, can we get her to get naked on camera? If we can do that, we can do everything. She just thinks that, well, I'll go this far and no farther. What she doesn't understand is that once the camel gets his head in the tent, it's over. Once the camel gets his head in the tent, that's over. There are a lot of memes out there who don't think of themselves that way. Go ahead and open up this window here and make sure I can see everything. I'm not going to ask people what is the craziest or worst thing that you've done for me. I'm not going to ask that. But I do want people to think to themselves and give us a call and start talking about it, about do you actually understand how powerful money really is and its ability to get to break down your defenses, its ability to break down your barriers. How many of you out there need some money tonight? I didn't say wanted. How many of you out there need it tonight and can't get it? But you're telling me that there's something that you wouldn't do for it, but you need it. Is that it? You're willing to concede that you need money, but then you're going to turn around and tell us there's something that you would not do for it. That's just not just counterintuitive. That's counterprinciple. Think about it. Let's go ahead and open up our phone lines here. We're going to take our first caller. Caller from the 718. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Good evening, Master Black. Good evening, Sister Ortiz. This is Nurse Zoe, a.k.a. Ozama. How you doing?
Black first. Hi. Big Zoe, what's on your mind, brother?
So it's good. And this is a very, very powerful topic. Unfortunately, I realized a few years ago that morals and principles, when faced in the realities of meeting obligations and even just basically eating and finding a place to live, they quickly go out the window. From personal experience and watching from people that I've observed from being in the high places and the low places in life, I realize that when the road hits the rubber and your back is to the wall, a human being will just be is no different from an animal that's walking around in the street. You'll do whatever you got to do to survive.
Have you met people who were telling you that they couldn't be bought and then found out they could and didn't even notice it, by the way? In my experience, most people who have been bought don't even notice that they have been. Have you seen that, Zoe?
Yeah, I've seen people that have been bought, but they did it with their eyes open. I've almost never seen someone that didn't know what they were doing.
In my experience, most people do not actually understand what being bought actually means. They don't actually understand what it does. They don't actually understand how that works. They've got this vision of in their mind, like Indecent Proposal, that's the way it's going to be. And it's not going to be a movie script. It's not going to be Robert Redford or somebody walking up to you, you know, like that old TV show, The Millionaire, you know. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be the dude down the street in the projects who bought the new car. You're going to be angling to get hundreds, not millions. It's those little surrenders and those little sacrifices that you make every day. That's the thing that I look at. That's the thing that most people don't want to talk about and don't want to face up to. They don't want to face up to the reality that, you know, money does matter. And I do have a chance here of getting bought. Nobody wants to sit and talk about that. And because we don't want to talk about it, we wind up in a situation where nobody actually gets around to dealing with it. How are you supposed to break generational curses if each successive generation is doing the same thing over and over again? If you realize that your children are looking up to, you know, the rappers and the guys with money, at that point right there, a light bulb is supposed to go off for you. It's supposed to go off, but it usually doesn't, but it's supposed to. You are supposed to look at that and say, you know what? They understand. Instead, we want to pretend that the children are just going to do as they're told. And that's not the way it works. There's a bunch of young females right now, ass naked in a portfolio of some photography company out in California. And their folks were saying that I taught her better than this all the way. to the porn store. There's a lot of young males out there right now who are doing drugs and a bunch of other things because they got in the car with the wrong guy, and their folks were telling them, I don't have to worry about that because she doesn't worship money like that. And we are constantly trying to live in denial of basic common sense and basic sociology. And that we as a people being at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder, by denying these things, look what you've done instead. You've set your children up to be slaves to somebody else. We do not concede as black people, we do not concede the fact that if you are poor, that can make you somebody else's slave.
Mm-hmm.
We just refuse to own up to that.
Not only that, we're too squeamish to have certain conversations with our children.
You're correct.
There's conversations I like. You know what kids like to ask, especially my child? Mom, did this ever happen to you? And it's like, oh, man. You know, and you hate to admit certain things. But I think we are just, I think that I credit my dad for a lot. But one fault I had for my dad is when certain things happen, he was too squeamish to have the conversation with me. I remember specifically, I was just totally in love with this boy who ended up being, anyway, I was 16, and I got off the phone with this boy, and my dad was in the next room, and he heard me, and when I was getting off the phone, I said, I love you. And I hung up the phone. Rather than taking that opportunity to say, let's talk about your feelings, Melissa, it was, you don't know what love is. Get out of here. And that was the conversation. It was dismissed. The opportunity was missed to have a conversation to get me to flesh out my feelings. You know, and I think as parents, when we have these conversations of what perhaps, you know, TBA said he's not going to ask, but, you know, when we think about what we have done for money, maybe in a past life, maybe before we had children, or in my situation, I am sure to tell my daughter, these are the things that I did that led me to have you two out of wedlock. Sometimes we don't want to have that conversation with our kids, but if we don't, they're going to look at our example and think that that is the right thing to do. And they're just going to carry it on. And if you don't tell them what you're doing is wrong, they're going to take everything you did and do it. And then they're going to teach their children to do it. So we have to stop being so skittish about these things.
The thing that I've learned in this life is very simple. You have to realize what you're willing to live with and what you're not willing to live without. And you have to decide for yourself, what can you do? What's the bare minimum? Where's your line in the sand? And you have to decide what's really important, what's not. Because if you don't, there will come a point in everybody's life where certain choices or certain opportunities will be presented to you. And if you don't have that point, that fortitude, that no matter what's going on, this is who I am, this is where it is, you're gonna compromise whether you like it or not. And that's something I had to learn the hard way. Thankfully, it did not cost me my freedom, and it did not cost me my life. But I've learned I can't judge the next person, but at the same token, it's just one of those things. I feel bad for people that have to make very bad choices just to survive.
I do, too.
The fact is that when you do not have money, you don't have choices. That's the problem. That you, when you don't have money, you have options, but no, you have, well, choices, but no options. When you don't have money, you have neither choices nor options, really. It's just whatever's about to happen to you is about to happen to you. If you do not have money, you don't have food. If you do not have money, you don't have electricity. If you do not have money, you don't have the ability to take care of your children. There's no in-between. And if we were to talk about it like that, maybe we would actually get more things done. But instead, we want to act as if if you don't have money, then you're not out of options. You're not out of options even if you're out of money. And that's wrong. That's wrong. And then your child goes out into the world, and that's why so many people give their children prayer. What is prayer? Now, I know you were told that prayer was talking to God, but in the social sense, what is prayer? Prayer is when you tell yourself that you have devised a means by which you can circumvent the rules. Isn't that the purpose of prayer? That you are asked a deity to bend the rules for you. That XYZ is going to happen under the normal course of events. Hey, is there anything you can do to intercede to make sure that XYZ does not happen, even though XYZ is about to happen?
Yeah, it's also a definition for magic. It's a science for changing the odds and adjusting reality to meet your purpose or your will. Prayer and faith, religion, fall under those same categories as well, too. It's going outside of the natural universal law of reality and perpetual motion.
That's why whenever somebody comes up talking to me about spirituality, I tell them, no, it's all religion. If you believe in anything that cannot be perceived by the five senses, then you're selling me religion. You can call it whatever you want, and at the base of it can be whatever you want. But the bottom line is, at the end of this, that is what you are actually offering me. That's what you're actually offering now. And we have to be honest about that as well, because we're not being honest with ourselves about what it is exactly that we're doing. So with that being the case, we are not able to stop this cycle from repeating itself. And if we can't stop it from repeating itself, then that's going to be a difficulty, because if we can't, at this point right now, we're headed towards extinction is what's happening. If we're not able to stop that from occurring, that's why it's so important. We don't have the freedom or the option of letting this go on any further. That black people, after 170 years after the plantation, are in a position of allowing this to go on. We're going to keep up this idea that we have some mystical ability to circumvent the rules right up until they just march us on out of here. Like I said, like news last night, you know, on one hand, money doesn't matter. On the other hand, it does. On the one hand, it matters. On the other hand, it does. It matters in these circumstances, but doesn't matter over there. We have to stop that. We have to stop that because the people that we're playing against are not playing by make-believe rules.
Mm-hmm. They're not playing.
You know, white men, as I said in Hollywood Whorehouse, they are using their power and their wealth to get what they want. We are walking in the room trying to figure out how to circumvent the rules as opposed to how to get the rules to do what we want them to do. That's what we wind up doing. And we never end up having an honest conversation about it. This is what I meant last night about we keep trying to manage things. We didn't have to spend so much time managing things. When you've got money, you have the ability to be honest with people, so.
Yeah, yes, I like it.
Yeah, that's another thing right there that you can do when you have money. You have the ability to be honest with people. You have the ability to tell somebody exactly what you're thinking and exactly what you think of them. And that's the real reason that most people with money don't have a bunch of, quote, friends, because they get to finally say, you know what, none of you niggas need to be here. They finally get the chance to do that. I've been waiting a long time to tell you all, and if I'm going to surround myself with fake people, it might as well be a dime. If you're going to be with a fake-ass female, it might as well be a 10.
Thank you.
Is she going to be fake? Why I got to have Bushika? Hell, if I'm going to have a fake-ass broad, it might as well be something looking like Beyonce, at least. She's fake. It gives me a hell of a ride.
Sorry about that. Hold on a second.
That sounds like they're there for Zoom.
Right. Yeah, just a local fire company.
Well, I thought it was the Department of Homeland Security rolled up and said, excuse me, are you listening to the Black Channel? Yeah, come on, this is Ramon. Wow, really? Like
that? They don't want none of this. They don't want none of this.
But having money gives you the ability to be totally honest with people. And that usual barrier that people look for, being fake or being fraudulent, it's not there. They can look in your eyes and they can see that you are 100% dead serious in what you're saying. That's another thing. People with money tend to be very serious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about some goons that lucked up on some money in the NBA. I'm talking about people who got money and know how they did it. They tend to be very serious people. That's why they don't want to talk to you for any real length of time. If it's not business, we're not really interested in speaking to you. Because they are a serious person. They want to get things done, and if what you are discussing is not going to get something done, I can't spend a whole bunch of time sitting here.
Real talk.
Do you know how overwhelming that is? Do you know how overwhelming that is that, you know, that kind of thing occurs? People are not prepared for that because all the usual defenses that you have are useless against somebody with money. He's not trying to bull jive you. He's actually going to give you something of tremendous value. It's going to be up to you to determine how valuable that is. But this guy actually has the ability to do that. And let me just be honest with you. Most of our sons and daughters are completely helpless in the face of that. Not some. Most. Most of them are completely helpless in the face of someone who actually has the ability to put $4 million in their hands and say, I'm walking off with your soul.
Whoa.
Sheesh.
Like I say, speaking in hypotheticals, it's very easy. We all know what the answer we're going to get is when we're speaking in hypotheticals. But the truth is, when you put money on the table in front of people, everything changes. A whole lot changes. Do you all know what the average cost is for paying what they pay on average to the average female who gets in the porn business? You want to know how much they pay on average? I'll let you have a guess.
About what, $3,000?
Annually or per?
No, for just to shoot one film.
A beginner? I would say 500, 1,000.
Minus $3,000. $3,000.
All right. What that really means is that Melissa knows a lot more than she should. But yes.
No.
Yes.
Not touching it.
Yeah. The average is between $800 to $1,200.
Oh, I was right.
That's the average. The average is between $800 to $1,200.
Wow. Jeez.
So what does that tell you? That tells you that people are a lot cheaper than you told yourself they were. Because when they know, I mean, for example, how many of y'all have a plasma bank where you are? Well, I'm sure you all do. Is that place ever empty?
Nope.
Ever.
Nope.
This is the cost of living in a dream world. It's not that hard when you actually have the money to put on the table. You will get far more offers than you actually think you will. It's not that hard. When you have money on the table, you are able to break down that barrier of verisimilitude. That person's bills are concrete. Those are concrete, solid structures in their minds. $1 million is vague, is vapid, is intangible. If you got $50,000, I'm going to tell you right now, I could buy most of the people listening to this broadcast, I could buy most of your wives for $50,000. I don't even need $1 million. $50K will make that happen. That's right.
What?
Go ahead and tell yourself that it wouldn't occur. Go ahead and say that.
Well, the first thing people think of, like you said earlier, is indecent proposal. And that's not usually how it happens. It's like the conversation you and I had some time back about a scholarship, you know, at a job. They're buying you. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, they're not. That's wrong. They're not buying me. I'm going to school. Yeah, but they are buying you for the next 3 years. Oh, I didn't think of it that way. That's how it happens. The way you're not thinking about it is the way they're going to come in and get you.
I don't know about that one, honestly. I really, 50 grand? I don't know. I honestly don't know about that.
I do. Because I've seen it happen enough times. Hell, you buy most men for half of that. Depending on what it is you want from them.
This is true. That part is true.
Oh, for the females? For the females, I could buy them for 50. I'm saying for the females, I could buy them for $50,000 and not actually even give her the whole $50,000. By the way, for the men, you'd probably have to part with actual money, but you could get them for half. For the females, for the females, all I need is a specific type of car, and from there, I'll finagle the rest. See, women like things presented to them in a pretty package. See, I'm going to need about $30K for the pretty package. But the men, that's not going to work.
True.
Men don't go in for packages. We want to see results. I can show the men results for $25,000, depending on what I want from it. Depending on what it is you want. Most hit men carry out contracts for $20,000. Go read your mafia stories. Hitmen are not carrying out contracts for $100,000 and $300,000. He'd never make any money. Millionaires don't have any enemies. A millionaire does not have so many enemies that he needs. There are not so many millionaires out there who have so many enemies that they need to pay that kind of money to somebody. The average hitman in the mafia, if you go take a look at it, their contracts are generally in the range of $20,000.
That's, wow. I wouldn't have thought that low.
It's even lower if you're willing to use non-mafia people.
Yeah, I mean, it gets lower than that. I mean, 20 not the floor. 20 is not the floor. 20 is closer to the ceiling. Oh, no. 20 is closer to the ceiling.
Boy, gosh. Okay.
I'll go ahead and see if I can bring another caller in here. Caller from 910, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, Jason and Melissa.
Hello, Stephanie.
It's Stephanie. Boy.
Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Did you hear the way... Hello, Jason and Melissa. Who is it?
Well,
don't fight me. I'm frail. No, Stephanie, we're not.
No, I'm not frail. I'm just me. You are hitting on some real heavy points. I definitely agree with you as far as the integrity thing. Even though in the chat room I did say that, you know, I wouldn't take the $4 million, but that was because you would have information that I wouldn't necessarily have. And so it would make me very, like, if you would have came and been like, I want you to do this, this, and this for this amount of money, then I definitely think it would be a different type of situation. But with you having all the cards on your side and me not getting that, you just saying, oh, here's some money, yeah, that's, it kind of changes up the way things are done.
Not really. The person with the money dictates the rules. They dictate the ground formula. They dictate everything. I don't care if I'm standing in your house. If I'm the guy with seven figures and you're not, I dictate the rules. And don't let me get eight figures. Please, I got your whole family on a leash now. Don't believe me? Go ask the NFL team at draft time. Go ask LeBron James' mama. Didn't even take $100,000 to buy her, now did it? Go ask his teammate to slept with her. Or however many of them did.
Ooh.
Or however many of them did.
I hear you on that.
Tell me that
wasn't
some 50 Cent on Rick Ross stuff right
there. Yes.
I wonder if anybody ever thought about that, by the way. I wonder if they ever thought about that. LeBron thinks he's all that. Let me show you something. Now, one more question. What team was he with when that happened?
Ooh.
I'm not a basketball person, so I don't know.
You're wrong, Jason.
I want to put that question out there for everybody. LeBron James' teammate, the one that we can confirm slept with his mammy. What team was LeBron with at the time?
He was with the Cavaliers. You're wrong.
I'm just being honest.
Wrong for that.
Now, the reason why I'm asking that is, now if LeBron is with the Cavaliers and one of his teammates done slept with his mama, when it's time for him to renew his contract, guess what team in the NBA he will not be going with? I don't know where he's going, but I know where he's not going to be next season.
Wow.
Yeah, you slamming and dunking and talking all that head and whatnot. Let me show you something. Yeah, you think you can? Every time we go in the locker room, you always capping. Well, I got something for you, man.
Well, did LeBron's mom move down to Miami with him or no?
Well, I would have left that heifer in Ohio if it had been me, but I think she...
Yeah,
I think
you know how they love their mama.
Yeah, I mean, they treat their mothers like girlfriends as opposed to, like, their mothers. And that's what they do. They become a crutch for each other, you know, is what happens. But my real point is, you got a son who's a multimillionaire. But even her being as old as she is, so much for becoming a virtuous older woman, so much for becoming mature and virtuous, how much did that take? Did West even give her anything? What did those guys actually give her, other than for her to be seen stepping out of one of their cars? What did they actually give her? What did she actually get for that? That's what I mean by she got bought for a lot less. A whole lot less.
You're right.
And at the expense of her child once again. Very common theme.
And what was on your mind, Stephanie, that made you call in before Zoe interrupted you?
Before he interrupted me? Really?
Yeah, you didn't hear?
Oh.
I heard it. It was very rude. I was waiting for him to catch himself, but, you know, I don't know why we just got to watch him talking about the Cavaliers and stuff. Don't care about that. So we're talking black empowerment. Don't distract us.
Okay, one of my things that was one of my woke up in the middle of the night thing was, as far as interaction with others and, you know, well, just interacting in general. And I'm not sure how many of you guys have played chess before or whatnot, but I used to kind of play a little bit with a friend in college, and it was this thing where he said, you know, he always think 2 to 3 moves ahead of what is going on at the moment. And so a lot of times I think whenever we talk with other people, it's this whole, let me think 2 or 3 steps ahead. or maybe no. I was just trying to get your opinion as far as, you know, when is it okay to play chess and when is it not, you know what I'm saying, or no? Like the whole thinking 2-3 steps ahead, like you were saying last night with the Mimi thing, and that if she would have stopped the 2 or 3 steps ahead, then she could have had more money than what she has now.
The problem is when you're dealing with people who are not used to money, they are incapable of thinking 2 or 3 steps ahead because they never thought they would make it to step 1. How can they think about step 2, 3, 4, and 5 when they never realistically in their lives ever dealt with the possibility of ever making it to step 1? It is, for the average black person, talking about handling millions of dollars is like talking to them about the chances of being sucked into a black hole. I mean, they literally put the probability of the two of those things in the same category. They never even consider for a moment that this could ever conceivably really happen. And this is why when it does happen to them, they blow every dime they got. They never actually seriously thought this could ever truly occur. Not really, they didn't.
Okay, so then that, and the other thing of it, I was thinking like, well, maybe this is more like dancing and like slow dancing, where you have this person that is basically like the leader and they're like guiding you across the floor, especially if you don't have that experience in that particular area. So instead of it being like chess, then is it perhaps like dancing, ballroom dancing maybe?
Well, ballroom dancing usually doesn't involve you getting whored out is the problem. Ballroom dancing is dancing with each other. What they doing with you is swinging from the shower curtain, you know, so that's the problem. When getting in the shower, whoever's got feet on the floor is probably the one in the advantageous position. The one swinging from the curtain is probably in trouble, or at least is a hell of a lot more vulnerable. So we're both doing the same thing, but I'm not here for the same reason you're here, you know. I'm having fun. You are in jeopardy right now, but don't really realize it. So sooner or later, you got to let go of that thing, and if I don't cooperate with you, you're going to get hurt. So what you're saying is, what's the difference? I think what you're really trying to ask is, what's the difference between utilizing an asset and being whored out? Is that really what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's
a thin line between the two of them, okay? I mean, it's a thin
line.
If we start interjecting morality and principles into it, it gets very, very difficult to be able to determine that. Once we start interjecting principles into it. Because by definition, whoring yourself involves a principle. But I think that we all understand that at the end of whoring yourself, you're left with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's whoring yourself that props you, and then there's whoring yourself that just exploits you. When you exploit somebody, that's when you win and they lose. I'm sorry. When you exploit somebody, that's a situation where the person who is doing the exploiting wins and the exploited person loses. That's the difference. I don't care how long we sit here dancing. If I'm being charged to stand this dance floor and you own the ballroom, I'm losing. It can only be a choice if I have a way to win. And we as black people
but
do not
how
even
would you
have
turn
that
to
last
where
night.
Where
we
you
don't
win
even really understand what winning is.
So how would you turn that around to where you win, or do you think that it's just not coming across, you know? It's like the whole go back to chess, and if you make certain moves and, you know, you're hoping for the most part that the person makes the moves that you want to make, so then you can capitalize off their mistake. Are people just not trying to capitalize off mistakes, or do you think they have it so perfect that there is no way to capitalize off of it?
Okay, well, here's the thing. The problem is that the parallels between what I'm talking about here, the usage of money and chess, stop. The parallels between the two stop after we talk about it's a competition. That's the only similarities that they share. In the game of chess, you abide by these rules and operate within these rules to win. In the game of money, you can make rules. You can't do that in chess. In the game of money, I can make rules. It would be like trying to play chess against somebody who can turn pawns into kings and queens. Chess strictly depends upon strategy, but what does strategy require? Strategy requires that those on your board who are strong remain strong, those who are weak remain weak. There is no alchemy going on there. You have to deal with what you are given. In the game of money, I have the option, the ability to arbitrarily turn a weakness into a strength just because I want to, just because it's to my advantage. You can't do that in chess. That's where the similarities end, unfortunately. It's a competition, but on this system, I like the system a lot better. Why? Because I get to make up rules as I go along. No wonder I can't lose. In chess, you can win by stressing someone. In the game of money, I actually have the ability to affect and corrupt your character as a person. See, in chess, in warfare, your country remains your country, whether you win or whether you lose. In the game of money, I have the ability to make you defect. In other words, I have the ability to buy off my opponent. You can't do that in chess. By definition, your opponent cannot be bought. That's the difference.
Okay.
So you see, in this game, the strategy is to have the most money because the most money allows me to make up the rules however I want. 1 minute we're playing golf. If my golf score is too high, now we're playing basketball. What do you know? I win. Look at that huge score on the board, but you haven't shot a single basket yet. Well, we only got 5 seconds to play anyway. 5 seconds? Yeah, we just got here. That's right. I'm calling the game now. Now that I've won.
So it's like you're the referee, basically.
Yes. I mean, money gives you the ability to bend the rules to your will. You can just make up things as you trot along. And we don't prepare our children for that. What do you do when, like I say, imagine if this was a situation where, like, with Mimi and Nico, imagine that this was her boyfriend's idea that she do this. What does she do when this man that she's hugging and kissing on and talking about spending the rest of her life with tells her, baby, we got an opportunity to make a huge come up? It's like Eve with the apple. The devil didn't go to Adam. Adam would have been ready for you. So he tries a roundabout way of getting this done. I won't approach Adam myself. I'll send his wife to do it. He will never suspect that what she is bringing him is poisonous. Money allows you to do that. I don't have to get Mimi into bed. All I got to do is buy off her boyfriend, and he will talk her into doing this. Because, you see, he's sitting at the table with us here at Vivid, and we told him that we'll give him a $100,000 bonus if he can get her on video. You never thought of it that way. Everybody was looking at how much money she got under that type of scenario, and I'm not saying that it happened, but under that type of scenario, by the way, has anybody even asked how much he got? Has anybody even asked how much Nico received? By the way, since he was on it, nobody's even asked what he got. Everybody wants to find out what she got. Kind of interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm. Very. Another thing was, that I wanted to kind of point out was the fact that, you know, as far as you saying people being bought and stuff, we need to realize our jobs, because it was one time I was thinking, too, that, you know, with my job, it inhibits my creativity and what I can do because I have to focus on, you know, getting the work that I have to do for my employer done as well. So, and I guess that kind of goes back with the whole, what I was saying before.
The reason that black people lose at the money game is because we do not understand that money's power is not simply limited to your ability to buy things. Money, power, mm-hmm. extends to your character. It extends to your personality. It extends to the character of the people around you. I have the ability to, if I can't get you, I can buy off your sisters or your mother. Think about that. I mean, you think about that for a moment. That's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Let me bring another caller in here. Caller from 313, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 313, why are you playing on my phone? Caller from 313 is playing on the phone. I'll have to go ahead and let you go, and if they call back in, we will make sure they can't speak anymore because I don't appreciate that. Caller from 305, you're on live with the Black Channel. Wow, really? Are they seriously doing this? I thought they'd wait until like 10 p.m. to do
Hello?
Molly. Not even there yet.
Hello?
Yes, is this caller Hello? From 305?
Yeah, you know, Jason, I'm actually just listening to your show. Somehow, you know, I just get...
Okay, well, let me put you back on hold there then. He's just listening. But apparently he's not listening because I called him and he wasn't saying anything. So do you think they do this with their parents around the house? Just out of curiosity. Like their parents are calling, Walter! Walter! Walter!
Well, I know I used to do that when I was little.
Yeah.
My mom just had my ears checked like twice.
Okay, but understand something. Like... She said twice, which means this was an ongoing issue, is what that means. Just, we checked it once. No, I ain't wrong with it. No, she either deaf or schizophrenic. Take her back. I want a second opinion. There got to be something wrong.
It's funny you said that, because just the other day I was calling my son, and he wasn't answering me. And I said, son, can you hear? And he looked at me like, what?
Oh, yeah, peroxide and everything.
I mean, but that would be the kind of guy who would tell you all, they came by me. Dude, you can't even hear. What makes you think we can buy you? Bunch of people like that. They can't even answer the phone, but they will assure us that we could never buy them. What I'm saying is that your ideals and your myths and your superstitions that you eat every day, that is not going to stop the real world from intruding. It's just not. It's just not. It's not simply because I'm cynical about people, because I am cynical about people, but I'm cynical about people for a reason, because I've seen this happen so often. Everybody wants to say that they don't have a price, but the truth is they do. And the real reason that they do is because they're not prepared for what it means to actually have to grapple with somebody who has the ability to do that. They don't actually know what that means. Not really, they don't. That's why they get caught off guard. Stephanie, has anybody ever made you an indecent proposal? Be honest.
As far as with money or what?
You know what? In your case, with anything, with an ice cream cone, a Play-Doh set, you know, just anything in particular.
I like ice cream.
Why did you say that? Now you're going to get an inbox full of Negroes. I got Neapolitan, Eggers, and Rocky Road.
As long as it's cookies and cream or vanilla.
And look at her right here. By the way, now she was talking about my female fitness motivation right here. This last 5 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I had to struggle with it. Open up her freezer. Looks like the dairy section in Häagen-Dazs.
No, it
I don't know why I did such a problem. No, not in her case. TBH.
DA, I don't know why this is a problem. The 5 pounds, maybe because you can't get the 5 pounds in your stomach because you got 50 pounds in this freezer. I suggest we downgrade. From what I'm seeing. What's she saying? She's like a little kid about that, too. You just told them to kidnap you is what you just told them.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. That's like a little kid. He might as well be going to school with a T-shirt that says, I love Hubba Bubba. Wow. That's a pedophile's dream right there. I don't even have to figure this out. I don't even take any brain cells here. Hello, Jimmy. I bought all the flavors. Oh, good. Just hop in the Cadillac with this stranger you don't know. Hello, my name is Stephanie. I'm really shy. Unless you brought some Bluebell. Did you all notice how she perked up when we did that? Did you notice how she perked up? Zoe's trying to be nice about it. Now, I heard it. Did you notice the way she perked up? So, ice cream. Oh, yes. Really? I'm just saying. I'm not beating up on Stephanie. I just want people to think it over.
Okay. But, yes, actually, my integrity was, and it was like I was upset. Well, not necessarily upset. It was just one of those surprise-type things because, like I said, I work in the school, and part of what I do, they have this thing called governor school. And so I'm responsible. It's like for the academically intelligently gifted. I'm responsible for testing those kids and screening them and doing all of that. And so it was one, in order to qualify to even fill out application, you have to take an intelligence test. And so I tested the kids, and one kid scored a 90 instead of a 92. Like a 92 would have qualified them. So we didn't have any kids at my school that qualified for that testing. And so when I got the call from county office, I basically told them, like, we don't have anybody. And so it was the thing of course, they were blaming me for not having anybody. But it's like if nobody scored proficient enough, then, you know, it's not my fault. You know, it's like nothing I can control, basically. And he was just going off about, you know, explaining it to the board members and XYZ. But, you know, thinking about it was like, you know, how easily could I have put a 92 instead of telling him he scored at 90, you know? And, yeah, education.
If he had brought you some cookies and cream, he might have been able to get that. So maybe that was the missing ingredient there.
No. Absolutely not.
Y'all thought it was going to cost a lot of money to get her. Man, I'm telling you. Some briars and some waffle cones and could have been in there. Okay, now I've got another caller I need to take on here on the line. I'll let you have the last word, Zoe, here so I can pick up another call.
Simple. Black first. Everyone, just think about what's important in life and make up in your mind that should be your end-all and be-all. And having said that, bless you all. Later.
Thank you very much for checking in with us here, brother. I'm going to take a caller from 386. You're on live with the Black Panel.
Hey. Hello?
Yes, caller from 386. You're on.
Hey, Black first.
Black first, brother, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Brian. Calling from Daytona.
Okay, sounds like we woke you up, man. Sounds like you're trying to rub the sleep out of our eyes. Is everything okay?
No, I'm all right.
Okay, I'm about to say, if you getting up ready to go to work and you just woke up for the night shift, I didn't want to disturb you.
No, it's just I was in the chat room and somebody was saying that they were talking about what happened before with every time we tried to organize, white supremacy, you know, mobilized against us. And what I was saying is we need to talk about what we can do. You see what I'm saying? And not worry about that. It's going to happen. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But we can't let that change what we're doing.
Okay. Well, no, you don't want that to happen as well either. Was there something that they were disagreeing with you about?
Basically, I don't know exactly what he was disagreeing about, but that's what I was trying to explain to him. He told me to call in. I said, I don't have any problem calling in.
Okay, then I'm a little bit lost on that then. I'm not really sure what the issue was, but I guess they'll let me know if there was a problem there later. But what did you think about what we were talking about tonight?
I feel like everybody has a price, basically. A lot of people have a price. Every woman has a price, I think, from my experience.
Okay. Everybody doesn't have a price.
No, they don't have a price, but most people have a price. Let me say that.
There may be a few people who do not have a price. If we consider price, if we consider a price to be something that you want, if the definition of price is something that you want, everybody has a price. There is always something that you want. If you're a person who doesn't want anything, you're a mental patient.
Okay, I'll go for that. But as far as from what I've seen,
you're probably going to want to turn me down back there for a moment, because that's actually going to start making an echo. That'll start reverberating, and it'll start going back and forth and back and forth, and eventually create this endless loop that we won't be able to close without dropping your call, so we don't want to do that.
Okay. Did he...
Now, what Johnny is stating is that you said that we shouldn't attack white supremacists unless we have a plan.
No, I didn't say... Okay, that's not what I was saying. What I was saying is we need to focus on what we're doing. He doesn't have a plan, and he was talking about white supremacy. I'm like, okay, well, we've talked about white supremacy. Everybody knows about white supremacy, so we need to figure out what we're going to do. Does that make sense?
That is
true.
We need to figure out
what we're going to do. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, that does make sense, but you have to know what you're going to do in the context of, well, what are we doing? Why are we, quote, doing anything? So it's not a matter of, well, we need to know what we're doing. But the question is, I mean, everything starts with what? I mean, our position in this world as black people currently at this stage of world history is defined against the backdrop of white supremacy. So if your actions are not in favor of black empowerment, which is, of course, to the detriment of white supremacy, then by definition, it then begs the question, well, what exactly are you doing?
Right.
We
so
just start kids out in the front yard and go
run
around. It doesn't mean they're cutting the grass.
If we're talking about black empowerment,
Stop for a moment. Maybe this is the problem that Johnny was having with you. I asked you to turn your speakers off.
Oh, off? It's off.
Okay, because I was still hearing myself just a few seconds ago.
Oh, yeah, it was on a little bit.
Okay, it was on a little bit. Okay. Well, we have years of failure to communicate. Now, go ahead and make your point.
Okay, the point is, we talked about white supremacy. We know about that. We should know about that. Now, what I'm saying is we need to organize, do what we're doing to organize. We can't control white supremacy. Can you? You see what I'm saying? So we have to...
No, I mean, you cannot control white supremacy. No, I don't...
May I ask a question?
Yes, Stephanie, go ahead.
Okay, you mentioned that we need to do what we do. We need to organize and stuff, but what is this broadcast? Is it not like a medium to organize us?
Right, but I mean, it is, but we can still keep organizing. Well, when you get, see, you can have money and not organize. Once we get the money, we still need to keep organizing, because if your goal is just to get the wealth, that's going in an individual's bank account. See what I'm saying? So once we get the money, we have to use the money to organize.
Well, yes and no. I don't want to disagree with that directly, what you're saying. I think I understand what you're saying there. The issue I would take with what I just heard was that, by definition, if you have a group of people who are gathering wealth, they are organized. It depends on what you have them organized for. But you're not going to get... I mean, you have to have a unity of purpose for gaining.
They could be organized just to gather
Jay-Z
wealth.
And Beyonce's money is worthless because it's not benefiting black people.
Exactly.
Now, if you turn around and it were in some way, that would be different. Magic Johnson's money does benefit black people, and he doesn't have to organize with anybody. Him by himself is okay. Let me find out from you here, what exactly do you mean by organized? Why don't we deal with some concrete? Don't be like Muse with a bunch of vagaries. Let's deal with some concrete. What would you define as, okay, we're organized now?
I mean politically, like we need to have, we need to have an agenda. We need to, you know, push money behind a certain agenda. We need to influence opinions and behaviors with our money. That's what I mean by organized politically.
Okay, because influence behaviors and stuff, that doesn't mean anything. Now, politically, I guess you mean by our politicians and who we vote for?
Yeah, basically, that's what I'm saying.
Wait a minute. Now, is basically what you're saying, or is that what you're saying?
That's some of what I'm saying.
That's some of what you're saying. These are a lot of non-committal answers. I shouldn't say answers. I should just say responses
that
you give. Because you're saying I kind of, sort of mean what I'm saying mostly.
No, that's exactly what I mean, but how... That's not all of what I mean.
Okay. Now, you're going to have a chance to hear this when it's recorded, okay?
Okay.
And I want you to go back and listen to this conversation after it's recorded and see if you can figure out why, the way that you kind of respond to these questions, why some people may have had a problem with it.
Okay. Now, what question are you talking about?
Well, the one I just asked you, sir. The one I just asked you. Even after you said, no, that's what I mean, you came back and said non-committal again. Is it what you mean or it's not what you mean?
It's what I mean, but it's not the
It's not all of what I mean. What you mean
exactly.
is that
it's
I'm,
not all of what I mean.
I kind
of
mean politically. I mean politically mostly.
Listen,
I meant politically.
That, but it's not just that, if that makes any sense.
Okay, well, tell me what we need to do politically. Tell me exactly what we need to do.
I don't know exactly what we need to do because I'm not a political science.
Okay, I don't know exactly what
we need
to
do. I'm not a lobby group, so I can't give
you
a step by step.
Okay, but tell me what, once we have the money and once we have politically, what do you want to do politically? Tell us.
Like I told you, I'm not a political science, so I can't give you... You know, exactly.
Right.
All I want to do is see our money used to influence, you know, decisions and of political people, and basically get political power. But I can't. I'm not going to tell you when you do this because I can't. That's not my field of expertise.
Right. But do you see the problem with you're saying? Yeah, it makes sense, but do you hear yourself? You are saying that you want us to go off and gain political power, and yet you cannot tell us...
Organize for political power.
Okay, you want us to organize, gain political power, sir. You want us to go and gain political power. Organizing is a method. Organizing is a method, not really a verb in this instance. You want organization for the purposes of gaining political power, and yet you cannot tell us what we will do with this, quote, power once we have it. You can't tell us how we're going to get it, and you can't tell us what to do with it once we have it. I'll give you another bite at the apple here. Can you explain to us what we do with this political? I'll even bypass the step of how we get it. Let's just say that organizing gives it to us. Now that we've got this, quote, political power, what do we do with it?
What do we do with it?
Now, I want all of the people out there, all the slack-jawed idiots, all the sycophants, all the frauds, all the cowards, all the liars, all the weak and the cowardly, to just listen right now. For the people who say that I'm too difficult and too tough and too harsh and too condescending and everything else, look at what you just saw occur. I'm not beating up on you, brother. What I'm saying is this was a proposition that you presented to us. You were the one who said that we need to make politics of it. And then my next question was, okay, what do we do with this politics that you wanted to go get it? We got it. Now what are we going to do with it? And you're saying, well, I don't know. Just go get it.
I
don't know
that.
What you're going to do with this politics. Just go get it.
I didn't say that.
Okay, you're saying that you want us to get political power. And when I asked you, what do we do with the political power, you said, I don't know. In other words,
no, I
do not know why you are asking us to go get it.
No, I never said I don't know. You just didn't hear anything. There's
okay. I asked you and you got quiet.
There was just a pause, and then I let
you
say something.
No, that's not a
pause. I never said I
didn't
know.
Okay, I asked you a question and you said nothing. Okay, brother, don't talk at the same time.
Right, and I let you say something.
Okay.
Because I figured you know why.
Okay, sir, that's what Johnny got on you about. That's why
What's
he had
that?
You call in. What you're doing right
why
now,
that?
The way you're acting right now. When I'm talking, you don't talk. Because I asked you a question and you sat there for 10 seconds of silence.
Oh, go ahead and talk.
What's the difference between that and somebody who doesn't know?
But I figured you would know.
No. I'm asking you what your idea is. Tell us what we are supposed to do with this political power that you want us to get. Third time.
That's such a stupid question. What do you mean, what are you supposed to do with it?
That was a simple question, sir. You want us to get this political power. We get it, and then do what with it?
Eat it. I mean, what do you think you do with it? You use it.
All right, sir. I've asked you a question. Why don't you just go ahead and explain all of it? What do we do? Give us an example. What do we do with
it? Let me ask you this. What's your definition of political power?
Okay, don't ask me anything. I've asked you a question, and I'm still waiting for an answer. What do you want us to do with that political
power? You use the
power
to influence decisions that you want, but...
Okay, give us an example of using this political power, sir.
You get policies that favor you in government, that sort of thing. Economic policies that favor you and your people. But I'm it's just that you use it to your benefit. But when you ask a question like that, I'm thinking, what kind of question is that? It's just...
Okay.
I mean, what else would you do with it?
Excuse me. In the chat room, you were accusing Johnny of not having a plan. I have gotten you on the phone right now, and not only do you not really... You have a plan, you just don't have a clue.
No. Do what? No. I'm pleased for not having a plan of what he was talking about.
Okay, I've asked you, and you don't even have a clue. You said
politics. He was talking about how he was going to stop white supremacy.
Well, yes, black empowerment is the plan to stop white supremacy. It goes hand in hand. They're both flip sides of the same coin. But in your case here, what I'm concerned about is that I don't see how any idea that you're going to posit at all is going to benefit us in any way, because you can't even tell us what the end game is. Get political power. Why? Because we don't have it. And that's what black folk have been doing now for 50 years. We've been trying to get political power as if that counts for something, and it doesn't. Because we don't know what to do with it.
People need to be associated with the land. You don't have the land. You don't have anything.
Okay.
You don't have power. You have
Jewish people have political and industrial and financial economic
and
power.
And they have Israel.
Okay, but they got it in this country long before Israel was a state, sir.
But they had it. They had everything you're talking about. They had it in Germany. Did they not?
Sir, Jewish people have had power in Louisiana before black people did. The city that
right,
I'm in
I'm
right
saying,
now, street, excuse me,
talking about
I'm not going to say this again. I'm not going to say this even one more time. When I'm talking, you have to be quiet. And the reason for that is because everybody cannot hear both of us at the same time. You were asked
okay,
a question.
I wasn't ready for you to cut me off.
Mute. Now, if you were going to go mute, that's enough. The city that I live in, Shreveport, is named after a Jewish fella. A bunch of Jewish families here, the streets in this town are named after. Very few black people. Very, very few black people that they're named after. Jewish people have had power long before Israel was a state, sir. You're going back to 1948. At least you tried to go back there. I'm talking about in the last 200 years. And we won't even get into plantation owners and slave dealers. We won't even get into that. They had plenty of power and wealth right here in America. Right here. Sorry that you were not up to speed on that, but they had plenty of it here. They didn't require Israel to gain it. Why do we require something more when those people didn't require it? Why?
Dumb. Are you dumb? Are you finished?
Am I
my
done?
Turn?
No,
my turn?
Answer my question. Why do we need something that they didn't need?
I don't know why.
You don't know why? Okay. Now that you have thoroughly humiliated yourself, I'm going to tell you, hang up the phone, sit back and listen, and perhaps, simply by accident, you may learn something.
Okay, now what did you have to say have to do with the price of pussy in China?
Okay. Sir, I'm going to do you a favor right now. I'm only going to disconnect your call.
Okay,
as opposed
do me a favor.
To ban you from as opposed to ban you from my site. Johnny, if he has any shenanigans in the chat room, you already know what to do. I'm going to do him a favor because he's probably pretty embarrassed right now, and he's probably feeling very, very sore. So because of that, black males, since they are emotional and reactionary, they don't know how to actually deal with their feelings. And instead of him simply saying, you know what, brother, you just opened my eyes that I don't know what I'm talking about. He instead decided to try to save face and ended up looking worse than he already did. So I'm going to go a little easy on him, hopefully as a teaching point to everybody else. Stephanie, wasn't that the kind of man you dream about being with as a female?
A clueless one? I think not.
Oh, I thought because he was just exuding all those characteristics that just endear a woman to black men, right? Okay. Let's try to see if we can take another couple of calls here. Caller from 347, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 347, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, I did not want to say.
Okay, your phone is really, really muddled on you.
I cannot press 1.
Okay, you can
pressing
1. Okay. There are that many Obama phones out there? That's kind of frightening. Stephanie, I hope you're learning something from all this.
Learning a lot.
That's right. This is how we discuss things. At least black males out there to understand. I'm keeping Stephanie on the phone for a reason because she's a black female. Melissa's on the phone for a reason. They're black females. And when you start asking questions about why do black women respond the way that they do, just understand a lot of you, first of all, he sounded like he was drunk, high, or both. I don't know. But what I am saying is that there is no excuse for this kind of infantile behavior. Not coming from grown men, that isn't. Not from grown men. These will be adult males he came to us with an idea. And you notice now, I didn't jump on him or anything. I didn't do that. Gave him several opportunities to explain himself. He sounds just like the Negroes of the Civil Rights Generation, complete with the slack jawed, you know, slow-talking country bumpkin drawl. I'm not beating up on him. I'm just saying it is what it is. So, but yet he's going to instruct the rest of us. I asked him, what's your plan? Our plan is political empowerment. Okay, well, I guess that's a plan, organized political empowerment. What do we do with this political power? I don't know. You ones with the organization, then why are we acquiring political power if we don't know what to do with it? I didn't say we don't know what to do with it. He just said, I don't know. You know what? Where is Muse? Where is Muse? Because she talks like that, too. This is what you just said. No, it ain't. Okay. I think we just found a friend for Muse. Ask her. Is that your man just called in? Caller from 313, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Greetings. This is Dendu from Detroit, TBI.
What's on your mind, brother?
I would just like to say the previous caller, the last caller, this perfectly exhibits what Nellie Fuller was talking about. If
Thank
you don't
you.
Understand racism, white supremacy, anything and everything that you think you know will only
confuse you.
This is a perfect example, but that's all the time that I want to focus on him. I had a question for you. In your opinion, what is the best method for rebuilding credit, rebuilding bad credit?
You're not going to like my answer. The best way to rebuild your credit is to pay off your debts. There are little things that you can do to try to cut down on the number of things that appear on your credit profile. First of all is if you have any debts of any kind, you need to try to get them off as best you can. You have several things you can do. If they're past a certain amount of time, you can always challenge them to get the credit agencies to verify that the debts are still valid. And if they can't verify them, if the creditors do not respond within, I think it's 30 days, then they'll remove it. That's step one, is to pay off or knock off whatever you can. That's step one. If it's something that you can't pay off, it doesn't hurt you to challenge it and see what happens. If it sticks, then it's you have to pay it. Thus, you have to pay them off. After that, then you can start with different creditors. It depends on what it is you're trying to get from them, is how they regard things. So, of course, you always want to make sure that you can definitely afford whatever it is, but they take a look at two things in particular: how big a loan you took out and how regularly did you make your payments. Those two things factored together are what they look at. If it was $300, that has a little weight. If it was $3,000, that has more weight. But we want to also see, did you do many payments? Because if you paid off the $300 with no problem and paid off the $3,000 but missed two payments, guess what you just told me? You just told me I shouldn't give you more than XYZ.
Absolutely.
So like I say, this, things like that are what factor into it. But, I mean, it's really just as simple as pay off your debts, the ones you cannot pay off. Challenge them if you can. It won't hurt you. But you're going to have to pay off or knock off, as they call it, pay off or knock off what you can. And from there, once you have that, you'll have to start with small things, because even if you get your credit, the worst kind of credit report is one that has nothing on it at all. Because what you are asking these people to do is the first person to take a risk on you. They'd rather see how you dealt with somebody else than to see that there's nobody there at all, because that's a blank slate. They're flying blind. They have no idea. A person who has a bad credit report that has a bunch of medical bills, that's different. Most creditors don't even count medical bills. You need to get those off of there too, but most of them don't count those because they see those one-time expenses, depending on your age. But under other circumstances, it might be germane.
Let me be a little bit more specific, because I don't think I was. I've gotten everything off of my credit report, you know, paid things off, and now it's a thing of I can't find places that will extend credit to me. You know, is it more probable that I should get a secured credit card?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to do that, you know, a secure credit card someplace or an outfit like Finger Hut or something like that. That's, like I say, that you're going to need to go that route instead, especially if you're having trouble getting things.
Have you Capital One credit card or anything like that?
Okay, something's happened to your microphone or something. You have it wrapped around your neck?
Sorry. I moved it down. Have you tried, like, a Capital One credit card? Because there's credit card agencies specifically for people trying to build credit. They'll give you a low line, maybe 250, 300, 500 tops, but that's a start.
And you said what was that?
Capital One.
Yeah, Capital One is one. I think there's another one like was that Orchard or something like that?
Yeah, and like Assurance Bank or something. There's a few of them out there.
Yeah, the only. I do not have a problem with those. Let me just say that right now. The only thing is for a person who's already exercised that they may not be so good at paying things off, I kind of bristle at the idea of putting them back in debt again. Because it's kind of unlike for me. I don't get a credit card unless I already know what I'm going to do with it. What is a credit card? A credit card is a plastic loan.
Yes, that's it,
what it is. It's a loan on plastic. And for me, I don't get a credit card unless I already know what I'm going to do with it. And the problem is in a rebuilding credit situation where a lot of people, and I'm sure you won't be one of them, but just said a lot of people get into trouble because they get a credit card and didn't actually know what they were going to do with it. So they wind up buying things that they didn't foresee. And next thing they know, they're back in trouble again.
Absolutely.
So you can do that, but just make sure that whatever it is, understand your first priority, like an AIDS patient taking his antiretroviral meds. Your first job is what you work for. Your second job is make sure you pay those bills. So when you leave your first job, you go check your bank account and go pay your bills, especially if you got credit cards, because those people are going to be on top of it.
My dad always told me never throw your credit card down on the counter unless you have that same amount cash in your bank account to pay it.
Good advice. Well,
yeah, because
I would like to share
a loan. You not take out a loan for money that you need. That's the way Neos think. You do. That's not the purpose of a loan. You take out a loan because you don't need it. For black folks' heads, we don't understand that that's not the purpose of a loan. You get a loan only for one purpose, to prevent using your own money. So
absolutely.
That you have you cannot eliminate risk in this world. What you can do is transfer it from one place to another.
Yes.
So what you are doing is saying instead of you want to build up your credit. Why? Because you want to get back in the game of risking other people's money and not your own.
Absolutely.
So what we need to understand is that see this credit rebuilding thing is what it is, a business rebuilding, or like the NFL rebuilding a football team. I don't care how good of a player, you know, Drew Brees is. If he doesn't show up for practice, he's worthless. We're not going to win the Super Bowl in year one. Peyton Manning showed y'all that. We're not going to win the Super Bowl in year one. It's going to take a couple of seasons at least for that to happen. He better show up for practice for the first couple of seasons. Then we can start talking about winning Super Bowls. It's the same thing rebuilding your credit. You're going to have to spend a certain amount of time where, you know what, I'd like to use this money that I just got for something else, but I have to use this to play this game of rebuilding my credit.
And that's the thing. Time is the biggest thing against you. Because when I graduated in 2006, the first thing I did was clean up my credit. So I pulled all three of my credit reports, and like TBA said, the first thing I did after I pulled them was I denied that everything was mine, and I made them verify all the information. And wouldn't you know it, three or four different accounts had my Social Security number wrong, and they had to take them off my credit report. So that knocks the money down right there. I then called the debt consolidation agency, and they said, well, you only owe, I think it was like $5,000 or something like that altogether. You really should pay that off. It's not worth pulling out a loan for that. So I contacted everybody, made payment plans, paid it off. The accounts that I did have open or the new accounts that I opened, first thing they're going to get you for is your new accounts. that's going to be held against you because new means you have no payment history. The next thing they'll hold against you is inquiries. You can't just go letting companies pull your credit report every day. If you're looking for a specific thing, like if you're shopping for a car and you need a specific interest rate, I think if you do all your credit pulling within a 7-day period or something like that, might be 14 days, the credit companies will count it as one inquiry because they know you're shopping for a rate and they're not going to hold that against you. But you can't go around pulling your credit every week. That's going to hurt you. The next thing is your balances. Like if you do get that $300 credit card, buy a pack of gum on it every month, let that dollar go through, and then pay your bill on time. Because if you get more than 30% of your credit available, like if you have a $100 limit and you put $150 or $120 on that card, they're going to start looking at you saying, oh, you're using a lot of your credit, sir, and that's going to drop your score down also. So you want to keep your balances low, pay all your bills on time, and don't pull your credit often. And if you do, if you're shopping for a loan, make sure you do it all within maybe 2 or 3 days and have it considered all one thing. And Jason's also right. Loans are for people who have money. My dad pulls out loans just because, you know, he wants to keep his credit score 800 and something. He argues with car dealerships. I'll write you a check for this car. It's not about that. It's about what I'm willing to pay for it. And he'll put a bunch of money down, and he'll finance the rest, and he'll pay it off early. Only for the purpose of building and keeping his credit up.
And one more thing there, what she was saying about that before, when you are checking your credit, she is absolutely right. Check all of them. Make sure you check all of them because you learned this early. Your car dealership may have a deal with TransUnion. TransUnion is the biggest of the three. TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian are the three credit reporting agencies. Somebody in the chat room was asking, what do I do to challenge those? TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian are the three credit reporting agencies. You call them. They've got numbers. You can call them, and they'll give you – they each have procedures for how to challenge what's on your credit report.
Yes.
So you have to make
sure you contact – and you can do it online.
Yeah, but you have to make sure you contact all three of them.
Yes.
Because your car dealership may be a member of TransUnion, which is the biggest, or they may be a member of Equifax. So you don't want a situation where your car, that car that you didn't pay off, got reported to Equifax, and you only pulled your credit report from TransUnion. You don't want to do that. You want to get all three so you can see, okay, the car didn't show up on TransUnion. Why is it that the bank turned me down? Because the bank checked all three. That's why. And that's why they don't want to talk to you, because you didn't check them all, but they did. That's another thing that shows up that bites people when they don't know about that. So they're little simple mistakes that black folk tend to make. It is simple, little simple things like, I just check one. You have, Congress passed a law that says that all of us have the right to check our credit report for free.
Every year.
Yep. So it's the website is annualcreditreport.com. Free credit report, I wouldn't go there because they want like card information. You get caught up in that stuff. But annual credit report is the site you can go to, and you can go check all three of them and go check and see what you have. You will at least be able to see what the bank and your creditor are seeing. And all I can say is that if you've had a habit of racking up debts, brace yourself. And I'm telling you that from experience. Brace yourself. Little slick stuff that you thought you got away with. Don't be surprised when these people know all kinds of things, even if you've moved from one house to another, even if you change cities 3 times. I can tell you about that one. You can change multiple cities. This stuff will follow you wherever. You'll be surprised how much information about you they've actually been able to accumulate. You'll be surprised. And you'll be surprised how many people contacted them about you.
It follows your Social Security.
Those are things you don't want to look into. Yeah,
yes.
Well, yes. That's one thing, though, but that's one thing in some instances, though, that even that be problematic. Just be aware of that as well. Skip tracing can connect you to all kinds of things.
And relatives with the same name also. and people that use your name. I've seen people with similar names or seniors and juniors get confused for each other.
One other question.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say something about the FICO scores. Here's the thing. I was livid at one point because I joined TransUnion's website. You can monitor your credit score with them. I got a credit score that I thought was great. I said, okay, I'm going to go buy a house now. I'm ready. I contact the lender. They pull my credit report. Ma'am, your credit report is not what it's supposed to be. I said, but wait a minute. I'm a member of TransUnion, and I checked my credit report and the score, and this is what it was, and said, well, ma'am, that's not what we're getting at. We're getting here. TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian sites use their own algorithm
to generate
your score.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Not FICO.
Right. You have to check all of them because you're going to get three different answers from everybody.
Mm-hmm. You're better off going to the official FICO and getting that score because TransUnion service will take your information and use their own, you know, math to calculate what their credit score for you is. You got to go to FICO because that's what most lenders are going to pull for you.
FICO, you say?
FICO. Right. She's correct about that. You want to find out what your actual FICO score is as opposed to the generated calculation that these companies are going to use. The other thing is, in that case, and I'm not saying don't do it. You definitely want to, she's correct. You want to have all the information. I don't want to pile too much on him because he's just getting started. Because this will be like a college course for him now. Wait, I got FICO and TransUnion and Equifax. And Finger
all
Hut,
the acronyms.
Finger Hut and Finger Foods and everything. Man. So, and then they told me to go to Capital One and get an orchard. And so, but what I'm saying is that, yeah, you're going to want to, if you really want to keep up with that, at this point right now, I'm just going to treat him as if his FICO score is zero, which, of course, is technically impossible unless you're Lee Harvey Oswald or Timothy McVeigh or somebody. But, I mean, I'm just going to treat you like your FICO score is zero and just say that, you know what, because he's basically, from what he's asking, and this happens to black males a lot, I'm not beating up on you. I was one of them. That we're just starting you from zero and that you're just having to do a complete rebuild on your credit profile. So at this point right now, you know, your FICO score in your case would be something that you really want to check on. I mean, you want to get it as early as you can, but if you know it's dirty, you know it's dirty. Check on it in a year and see what you got. Because at this point right here, the calculation won't hurt you because it's not like you do anything right now. Not saying don't find out. I'm just saying the only reason I didn't go into all that is because not that you don't need it, but hell, if he's asking about this, he already knows his FICO score is almost room temperature.
Exactly.
Mine was like 498 when I started 7 years ago. I was like, oh gosh, almost 8 years.
My other question for you guys.
$5,000 in debt to Victoria's Secret. Give me a break.
No, it was actually, you know what, believe it or not, old utilities, things like that. You know, you move and you don't pay the water bill, that will $47 will follow you.
Negroes got Comcast sitting up here chasing them, their children, their grandchildren.
Yep.
The baby is 4 years old with a Comcast debt. Be ashamed.
Right. Here's another thing added on to what I was just asking you guys. As far as things that are on your credit report, let's say you have a situation, here's a little anecdote, that you have a bill, you have a contract with a certain company, and they forward it to or sell it to a credit collecting company. Is that even legal for them to,
yes,
you know, because I didn't sign a contract with
that's the law. This has already been litigated. That's the law. They have the, okay, here's what actually happens, okay? They don't technically sell your debt. They contract out the collection of it is what happens. That's why whenever you have a situation like that, like if you owe a bill to AT&T or whatever like that, you need to contact the company directly. Do not talk to their middleman because he's going to try to get the maximum out of you. usually in a lot of these cases, they will settle with you for most of what you owe if you contact the original debtor. Now, if it's your old landlord or whatever, you can forget that. If it's a corporation, they usually have procedures in place. It's like, okay, we know you're a deadbeat. Pay us 60% up and we'll let you go. And a lot of hospitals will do the same thing. Most hospitals just want to get most of their money back. They'd rather get most than to get nothing. So, once again, contact the original debtor. Don't talk to the secondary company. Contact the original debtor and talk to them, because all they've done is contract out the collection of the money. It's like hiring a hitman with the mafia, you know, a leg breaker with the mafia. They've just hired him to collect, but they will gladly, the only reason they hired him was because you didn't come to them yourself, and they don't have time to chase you. So they'll just give a contract to him, and he will go through all the expense of catching up with you and harassing the hell out of you.
I did that also. Most of the times I found, in my specific case, but that's why you should pull your credit report, because the agency that picked that debt up is usually the contact for that account on your credit report. But I did call my original creditors, and they would tell me, we don't have your account anymore. We've passed that off to so-and-so collection agency. But do still call, because you never know. The original could, like you said, could have, we'll settle it right now for $50, and you might owe, you know, $110. With the credit agencies, with
billing. If it's a corporation, they have a billing department. Contact billing; they'll be glad to talk with you about that. Well, I shouldn't say
And by law, medical bills. I think medical establishments by law are required to take as little as $1 or $5 a month in collection. I'm pretty sure.
The only thing you cannot get rid of is government debt. That's the only thing you cannot. If you got if you got student loans, that's really the only kind that will never go away. Everything else is limited to that 7 years, but government debt never goes away, ever.
Mine went away. I don't know how. I mean, they just took it out of my a tax return several years ago, and it disappeared from my credit report, thankfully. But it will follow you. When my dad was a mature man, was paying his student loans and moved and forgot about it, you know, years later he's at Home Depot looking to make a large purchase, and, you know, he'll say, okay, well, let's build some credit. He goes to the customer service desk, and he applies for a card, and he's denied. He is livid at the counter, like what? You know, he's not yelling and screaming, but inside he's like, how could I possibly be denied? He goes home, gets on the phone, student loan debt. Totally forgot about it. Sure, man, was paying it and everything, but, you know, he wrote the check for the balance right there and was like, get this out of my life. But it will follow you. Even if you forget about it, it'll be there when you're at the counter in the store.
You said that they took it out of one of your tax returns. Was the rest of it deferred or something?
No, it just wasn't a lot of money.
Okay.
Yeah, no, they took it all. They took it all 1 year, and then the following year they took the remainder.
Yeah, the government usually doesn't garnish you unless it's just a really bad situation. But for student loans, they love it because they want to get it all knocked off in one payment if they can. But for student loans, they are extremely good about snatching tax return.
Compounding that interest daily.
And you know what? This illustrates why, you know, I have a friend of mine who her family, everyone in the family were had college degrees, you know, and she was one of them. And she now owes $90,000 in school loans, and she has been scared to file her tax return. So I see why. Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, in her case, owing as much as she does, especially with Obamacare in full effect now, they're going to need as much money as they can get. So, and now they're trying to implement new computer algorithms at the IRS to be able to catch that kind of thing. And in her case, you know, and the real sad thing is that she's not atypical. Most of our students in the United States find themselves in a similar type of situation. And they don't tell you this when you got your degree in sociology, which might as well be a degree in underwater bubblegum chewing, be that you're not going to be able to pay off debt with this degree that we gave you. It's worthless. Nobody ever tells you that. they give you a degree, and they've got you on the hook for this massive amount of money. And then
but I guess it all
go,
goes back to what you said
Most
before.
Of your doctors, by the way. Now, that's a scarier thing.
Absolutely.
Now, you think it's bad to have a ticked-off sociologist. You imagine having a cardiologist who owes $200,000.
Wow. Yeah, that's
I know a podiatrist that owes $170,000.
How is he going to think about doing a heart catheter? You talking about, oh, I got to pay this $200 deductible. This man's like, I owe $200,000, and you worried about a $200 deductible. Let me jam this damn. And so just think about that for a moment. You thought your bills were bad. Just think about how many people are out there like that. So it's very, very much endemic at this point. It's not an easy thing to deal with. It's very, very much endemic. Very, very much a problem.
I guess it kind of correlates
how much
to...
How much are your student loans?
I don't have them. It was a friend of mine. She still has them.
Okay. Oh, your friend has $90,000. Okay.
Yeah,
your
$90,000, but I...
Wink, your friend. Yeah. Got it.
Right. Oh, well, if it was me, I would admit to it. It's no problem. But I guess that all goes back to what you said on another show you had where, you know, the children are being sawn up the river. I believe that's what you said, if I'm not mistaken, because, you know, there were things that her family could have done to help prepare her for things like that. And, you know, they didn't do it.
All these evils that we suffer are a direct result from our families not being prepared for a financial system. I mean, because black people would be the poorest people in the world, are routinely the poorest people in the world, no matter what financial system you go under, socialism, capitalism, communism. Hell, if we went back to bartering, black people would probably still be the poorest. We do not know how to leverage our assets, and we don't teach our children the family business. We don't do that. We don't prepare them for that because we pass nothing down. The children wind up starting from zero again. Yes, your children should go to college and get a degree if that's what they want to do. However, that should be a choice for your children. It shouldn't be something that they're required to do. That's the difference. It shouldn't be something that they're required. That's where the difficulty comes in.
Well, I definitely appreciate the
okay, somebody,
invite.
Is that you over there banging on the table or something, Melissa?
That's actually me.
Okay, well. Okay, let me drop Stephanie's call right quick then. Okay, go ahead, brother.
I appreciate the information you guys disclosed with me. I have one more thing that I would like to share to the people, if you will let me, TBA.
Go ahead, brother.
Is it okay? Experian. I don't believe it was this year. I believe it was a couple of years ago, but they have something in their policies now where it can help fix your credit if you go to them and report your rent. They're the only ones who are doing it now, so I think that'll be something for the people to look into. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to say, and thank you and Black First.
I wanted to tell you one more thing now that I'm thinking of it.
Absolutely.
I tend to not trust myself sometimes. To keep me out of trouble, once you get out of the woods with all this and you're getting yourself, you've got to get paid, you're getting yourself on track, you can put a security freeze on credit report. That way nobody can pull your credit without your authorization. What that also does, what it did for me anyway, it would deter me from applying for credit because then you have to pay a $10 fee to have it lifted temporarily or permanently, and who wants to go through to keep paying, and then times three, that's $30. So that's another thing you can do if you want to keep people from pulling your credit, including you. That way you don't have those marks against you.
Will that go against the one-year annual annualcreditreport.com?
When you pull your own credit, it's considered a soft hit. it's not counted like an inquiry from a large company. So you can pull your own as many. You can pull your own every day. It's not going to affect your credit score on either on any of the three.
Will affect the hard pull. Will affect it versus a
yes.
soft hit.
Hard correct. Hit.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, thanks TBA. Thanks Michelle. Black First.
Black First is thank you very much for joining us. Hey Michelle. Anyway, now for those of you out there who wonder why it is that I keep Melissa around, because I was just sitting over telling her, "You go, girl." If you wonder why it is, and if you wonder if she really does know this stuff on her own, you've had an opportunity to hear it for yourselves now, and that is why they call her Melissa. Okay. Tried to help you out there and it didn't go so well. Caller from 803, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Yes, you're on live.
Hey, how you doing?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Jonathan L. Roberts. I'm calling from
Jonathan
Columbia.
Roberts. Wow. I
hey,
to
it's
talk
a black guy.
A minute.
Hey. How you doing, TBA?
I'm so glad that you have some sensible and sane profile pictures now. I used to cringe. When I would go down my friends list on my profiles, I used to cringe and say, boy, I hope I don't see him today. I don't mean that to be way. Just can you get like a black square for your profile picture? Does he do this stuff? You know, the only person who I've seen with profile pictures worse than yours is that the fat naked dude. Who keeps taking pictures of himself in the mirror?
Oh,
like
yeah.
His face, half his face is on there, and the other half is him naked in front of the mirror. And I'm like, you know, that's the only person whose profile picture I hate seeing more than Jonathan's. It really is. So I want to extend this opportunity to tell you thank you for stopping that. I sure do appreciate that.
Sure,
y'all might
man,
think
sure.
his picture right now is wild, but trust me, y'all. Oh, this is wonderful compared to some of the stuff we done seen. So sometimes I think he's just checking himself. What can I do to make this as bad as possible?
I wanted to ask you a question. Like
me or Malika?
Right now I'm suffering from getting clients. Like for what I'm doing right now, I'm doing photography and videography. I'm like suffering from getting clients right now. What's like a tip like you would do?
Wow, that's a interesting question. In all honesty,
searched for a photographer before.
Yeah, in all honesty, just to refer you to two people because I'm not one of those people who thinks that I'm not one of these people. Unlike some folk out there, I don't try to talk things I don't know because I've never been in videography business. I bought the equipment and used it for myself so that I wouldn't have to spend a bunch of money on somebody else. Quentin Adams is somebody you would contact about finding out some tips on that. Tim Alexander, he's a very busy guy. If you can, just try to shoot him a note as well about finding out how to get clients for that kind of thing. But the number one thing that they'll probably tell you is you need to make sure that you know how to use your equipment. Because the number one thing that a client, if they're smart, is going to look for is some type of demo reel, and you are not the first person that they've talked to. I can tell you that because as a customer who has hired videographers and cinematographers, I didn't just stop with the first one I met. I went through a bunch of people. I preferred Quentin, but I checked out a bunch of people. So before anything else, you need to make sure you know how to use your tools so that you can get the maximum amount of money. Another suggestion that I made before, and Tim will bear me out on this, is that a problem for black videographers in particular is they tend to start small and stay there. You got white kids 19 years old doing videography. I know I've seen them. Not anything all that tremendous and whatnot. Black folk, on the other hand, tend to not do so well about that. And the way that most black videographers market themselves is atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. There's one person in particular, I will not say any names because I don't want to embarrass them, but there is one person in particular, and I had told them over and over and over again, whenever you put out a video for anybody, because they like doing videos for rappers and stuff, I said, make sure that you put your name on everything you do. And you need to do it just like Gil Green and what's his name for Rick Ross's Yacht Club video. You need to have your name on there during the damn song so that they can't get it out.
Hype Williams.
Yeah, you need to have it on there while the song is playing so that they cannot edit it out. And that's why so many people now are not using Vevo anymore, because Vevo doesn't let you do that. Well, guess what he did? Made the video for somebody. I'm not going to say their name because you would know who they were. Didn't put any information on there at all. 3 million views later. And I was like, dude, do you understand? They just got 3 million views, and nobody knows that you did this. There were two names that were the most watched music video in history was Michael Jackson's Thriller. There were two names that everybody knew from Thriller. Number one, Michael Jackson. Number two, John Landis, the director. So that's another thing is that even if your work is not really that great, make sure your name is on it so that people know that you're actually the person who did it. Because if somebody sees it and they do like it, that was your advertising for you. And you can't control everywhere it's going to be. And it's not going to be at every place that you're going to be. That's another thing right there that guys who I've wanted to hire have failed to do. I've seen a lot of good videos and didn't know who it was. So I can tell you that as a person who's bought work from people, I had people who I wanted to hire and did not hire simply because I didn't know who they were. So busy trying to make a payday, you forgot to put your name on it.
Okay. Ask you one more question. Do you think,
sure, go ahead.
Do you think that having good marketing skills versus having good work would get you more into the door versus just having good work and not marketing, just having bad marketing and good work? You get what I'm saying?
This is the question of time in memoriam in enterprise. Do I really have to make a good product, or should I just work the hell out of this commercial? And what I will tell you is that that can be a tripwire for you, because you can have great commercials, but if the product sucks, you will not have customers. Now, there are a few things that in proportional comparative terms kind of defy this, like McDonald's, for example. Does anybody think that McDonald's has the best hamburgers out there? Anybody?
No.
Okay. There is nobody who thinks McDonald's has the best hamburgers. What is the largest hamburger chain on earth?
McDonald's.
Wait a minute. The guys that we just all agreed do not have the best hamburgers, and yet they're the biggest of the breed. Why is that? Because they are best at marketing themselves. Now, and the other thing is their hamburgers don't suck, depending on who you ask. They're always convenient. They're always quick. Their hamburgers don't suck. They're not the best I've ever had, but in a pinch. And what we found is that most Americans are in a pinch at lunchtime. And guess where McDonald's is? Right across the street. No, they're not the best, but I will get fired if I'm not back in 59.9 minutes. Guess where my money is going? To the guys who marketed themselves to hell.
Themselves so well, Burger King just pops up next to them.
Yeah, Burger King just looks for a McDonald's franchise and sets up a shop across the street from us. Same thing for Advanced Auto Parts. AutoZone sets up a place and Advanced sets up right across the street from them. Same thing for churches. You know, that's the guys who are leading in the industry are the guys who market to themselves. But for a smaller operation, that will not be possible for you. Small businesses don't have a money, as Robert Rodriguez called it, a money hose. See, when you got lots of money, your product can suffer because you turn on your money hose. Just like special effects in Hollywood, the movies suck. But guess what? They turn on their money hose, special effects, $1 billion later for Avengers. Yeah, it sucks, but look at the special effects. Money hose. You're a small operator. You don't have no money, thus you have no money hose. You are going to have to gain your customers by getting them to like your product. So your time will be best spent perfecting your craft, because you have no money hose with which to drown your inadequacies.
Yeah, because one client wanted me to do a wedding in November, and I'm like, I don't think I'm ready for that. I'm like, whoa. Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff that goes into a wedding.
You should have done it.
Huh?
You should have done it at the beginning of your career, your learning curve and whatnot. You make deals with people, okay? When you're first starting, you make deals with them because, let's be honest, if they really could afford it, they go hire a real videographer while they're talking to you. So you make them a deal. You're going to pay me some mediocre money, and I'm going to give you a mediocre video. And that's what you do. But that's the truth. That's what you do. Now, you need to learn how to use your equipment, of course. But he's not going to be able to complain because a real videographer wanted five times as much as you did. And for everybody who's gotten married, for the 20% of black people who still get married, they know that videographers are very expensive at weddings. Especially if they have to do post-production work, like put damn video albums together for DVDs and stuff, you know. That's going to cost even more money. But in your case, you're going to cut them a break. But the reason you can cut them a break is because they are getting a bargain basement price because you're doing your work in the basement. And that's exactly what it is. But that's why, you know, you need to know how to do your exposure. You need to know how to do your lighting. You need to know how to use small form factor. You know, get the most out of your tools so that that person can at least recommend you, hey, if you want a cheap videographer who does passable but cheap work, call my friend Jonathan. Until you get enough experience in live fire situations that you're actually able to handle it on your own. Because I learned a lot myself, you know, just doing my documentary. I learned a lot. And every interview that we did got better and better and better. The amount of time it took to set up got quicker and quicker. So you don't learn. For you and all the other fellas who ask about that, brothers, you're not going to learn by sitting on YouTube. I'm sorry, you're not. You are going to learn by picking up your camera and turn it on and recording in as many places as you can. You are going to learn by picking up that camera and using it. This is not something that you can master hypothetically. You've got to start using tools. You have to. It's not going to happen any other way. So in your case, I would have taken it. I would have charged him a bargain basement price. Oh, I would have taken it.
Of course.
Now,
if you don't know...
If you don't know how to manually set your settings, now, no, you don't take it. That's the only caveat I will put on that. If you don't know how to manually set your exposure and your ISO and whatnot, and we talked about ISO before, that number of 800 you gave, I'm like, okay, this is a problem. Okay, well, for doing a wedding, let me rephrase that now. For doing a wedding, that would be different. But what that means, Jonathan, is that you need to get a rig, okay? You don't have a rig. Go ahead and just say no. I do not have a rig, TBA. Thank you.
Yeah, you're right.
You all can't see Jonathan right now, but he's nodding his head up and down. I do not have a rig. Thank you very much, Jonathan. You do not have a rig. Thank you.
But that's why you need one.
You need a rig, Jonathan. You need a rig because that would have taken care of that light situation that you were talking about before. But you didn't know that you could do that because you don't have a rig. Because you don't have a rig, you didn't see where it tells you how you can mount the light on it. That's why you're saying that. Because you're worried about setting up lights. If you had a rig for your camera, you'd be able to mount a light on the rig instead.
Yeah, but some churches don't allow strobes and stuff. And, you know, the preachers, I mean, the pastors.
What is this, a discotheque? I thought this was a wedding.
I was just looking at
I'm starting
videos.
Soul Train wedding videography. Really?
Yeah. Oh, man.
John said, damn, this slow dancing. We're going to do the Dougie up in here. No, dude, it's strobe lights. No, you get an LCD. I mean, not LCD, an LED that's going to mount to the top of your camera. They got plenty of them of varying sizes. An LED that mounts, an LED array that mounts, an LED or a, you might, I don't want to get into CFLs and whatnot because you may need some help for that. But what I'm saying is that you've got options, man. I mean, you got options. You need to go investigate the gear a little bit more. But you've got options. Plenty of videographers doing that every day. You need lighting for your camera, man. The lighting inside that church is not going to be adequate. It's not.
You're right.
I don't care if it's T.D. Jake's place. It's not. That's not going to be enough.
Yeah. This will be it. This will be the last question I'm going to say to ask for tonight. You don't think this is a smart option? Like, it's an option. It's optional. Like, if you were to take out a small loan to get equipment, you wouldn't do that, right? You would just save up your money and have that money there so you can buy the equipment. You wouldn't just waste a loan on just getting, you know, some good equipment, just good, you know, equipment you can use to let them know that, hey, you know, I'm professional. You know what I'm saying? Would you do that,
Since you are talking about starting a business, I'm assuming you're talking about doing it as a business as opposed to a hobby that you want to make money at. If you're talking about doing a business, then yes, I would take out a loan. But okay. I would only take out that loan if I already had a means of paying it back, whether this videography thing works out or not. Now, if you're taking out a loan and expecting this videography that you are still learning about to pay for that loan, that's foolish. If you already have a way of paying off that loan and you're just experimenting with videography, then yeah, I would do it. I probably would go in further than $7,000 or $8,000, but yeah, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'll probably just take the smart route, not get a loan, just learn absolutely more before I go more into it because, I mean, yeah, like you said, it would be a dumb idea just to go out and get a loan and you fail at that and you lose interest, you know. You're right. You're absolutely right.
But well, the other thing is I don't believe in going anything failing, okay? Failure is usually a result of poor planning. And the thing is, you know, I forget, what city are you in?
Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay. You're in the Carolinas, so that's not a bad place to be in. But you definitely need to have access to other markets there. I don't know if Columbia is really the best place for you to be in. But usually what happens is we fail to plan. We usually fail because we fail to plan on anything. So in your case, I don't have a problem with that, what you're doing. But the only thing that worries me about you, John, well, a lot of things worry me about you, but the only thing that worries me about this videography thing is that whether or not you've actually mastered your tools, that's the thing I'm concerned about. Because you've been asking a lot of questions about that, and that's fine. I think that's wonderful. Jonathan, I want you to send me some videos so I can see what you're doing. Oh, all hell. Right. I'm not even charging you nothing.
I'm at moderate level. Moderate.
Oh, okay. Moderate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I want you to do, okay?
Okay.
Because this is what you really need to do, because these questions that you're asking are sophomoric. But what I want you to do, I want you to shoot either Contact Quentin Adams. I'll tell him that you're going to send him a message. Quentin and ask him for a few pointers as far as making sure you have the right equipment and what you're doing with it.
Yeah,
right now, you're wasting the most valuable commodity on earth, your time. Either you're going to get started on this or you need to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
but you're too young to be. And I understand you kind of got a deer in the headlights thing because, you know, you're like, okay, I don't want to make a wrong move. The only thing is you will not learn anything unless you move. You're going to have to make a decision.
I'll tell you this. I'm just getting started in the whole business thing. I'm putting my, you know, when you put your feet in the water in the pool, checking to see if it's good enough to go in. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm just, you know, putting my feet in. You know, I'm not. I want to be financially independent, but you know, I'm placing my feet in there. I'm like, you know, should I go in or should I just?
Yeah, this is,
you know,
the other thing that tends to freeze black folk. This is what we get from not being raised in a situation where we deal with money. I cannot tell you how many black people that I have met who have given the damn farm away simply because they didn't know how to charge. Black people are terrible about that. But number one is when you charge somebody, the price is the price. The second millionaire that I met in my life told me that. Okay, I'm sorry, not second, third. I was thinking it was the second or the third. He was the third. The third millionaire that I met in my life when I was a young man, much younger than you even. That was one of the rules that he taught me. He said, the price is the price. And that's one. Now, you need to determine what your price is going to be. As you get better, your price will increase. But right now, you need to know what the price is, and you need to be firm about it. The price is the price. You can always give a high price, and if your work sucks, you can give them a break when you give it to them, okay? But if you give a low price, you can never step up on it. You can always give a high price and step down. You can never give a low price and step up after the fact. You can't do that.
All right. You never lower your price, right? You never lower it.
No. Ever since I met him, I never have. And as black folk, we're shy about it because we start thinking, we get so desperate to get money that we're afraid to walk away from the table. And this is how we keep getting caught up with so many ratty people and the homie hookup people, because the homie hookup people are used to dealing with folk who refuse to walk away from the table. That's why they haggle with you, because they're used to folk backing down. When I run a business, I don't get the homie hookup people, and the reason I don't get that is because they know Jason Black don't negotiate. The price is the price. Either you got it or you don't. Well, what do I do if he doesn't have the money? Tell him, here's my card, call me back when you got it. That sounds like some pimp stuff, you damn right. Straight game. You hit me back when you got the money. I'm running a business, not a charity. There are some people that I might be charitable with, but that's going to be at my discretion, not yours. The price is the price. And furthermore, how much of a businessman are you if you can never tell people what your price is? What kind of business are you running? You go to the car. Imagine going to the car dealership if car dealers acted like black people do. Imagine that. You go to a place and the price is never the price. Imagine how chaotic that is. And guess who the poorest people in America are? The price is never the price, people. Do your customers a favor. Walmart has discount prices. Would you ever shop there if they took all the price labels down? Or better yet, if they had the prices and under it in parentheses it said maybe. That can of soup is $1.28. Sometimes. Sometimes. Find out at the register. Wait a minute. You would never shop there again. Why is it that you're not held to the same rule? As a business owner, do your customers a favor. I'm doing you a favor when I say the price is the price. I'm doing you a favor. Now you know how much it costs. And I know what to look for, and we're very clear on what's going to happen. All that haggling and stuff, all that does is cloud up everything, because if he got you to come down on the price, now he's worried about the quality of what he's going to get. Let's just keep it on top. Don't back down. Learn that as young black men early. I don't want you to get too hyped now when you do it now, okay? Yes, how much is the price there? It's $800. That's right, $800. Hold on, bro. I'm not mad. I just want you to know that I'm so in myself that it's $800. Okay. I don't want to do that, but the price is the price. Understand something. That little bit of queasiness that you're feeling right now, that will go away when you are sure of the quality of your work. And that's why I'm saying, why don't you guys sit down and chop up some game, because you are queasy because you aren't confident about the quality of what you want to do. Why don't you get that taken care of, and then that little bit of queasiness will go away. Because it's hard to be confident about anything when you ain't even sure what you're doing.
You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. You see, you sound like a really, really good salesman. You sound like a really good salesman.
I was a really good salesman. And that's why, I was a very good salesman. I was very good at what I did. I just didn't like the people I was working for.
Okay.
I didn't like any of them. But you're going to have to learn how to do the same thing, because that's part of marketing. Your customers can hear your unsureness in your voice, just like Stephanie. They can hear her timidness and her insecurity in her voice. And she may be the best videographer, best counselor, best technician in town. Nobody is going to go to her. Or everybody who does talk to her is going to try to bust her price down. Why? Because she sounds so unsure of herself. What if she does a bad job? I don't want to pay full price if it's going to be a bad job. So you're inviting that to yourself in the way you present yourself to your customers. You're actually inviting it. Oh, man. I don't want no trouble. Okay, I said it was 800, but, how about 600? Wait a minute. Come over here. Yeah, my name's TBA. It's $800. No, 800. I know what he said. 800. Oh, you don't have 800. Here's my card. Call. Oh, it would take you a month to get it? We'll be here next month. Call us back when you got it. That's business.
I'm not upset with you.
I'm not mad at you. I'm not nothing. I'm not being rude. I'm running a business, not a charity. And your customers will respect you for it. Because that attitude is what you bring when you do your work also. I take very much pride in my work. It's very well done. It got done on time. I made sure I got paid right, and when it's time to give them their product, I make sure the product is right. And you go from there. That insecurity and that unsureness goes away.
You're right.
So before you do anything else, see about checking with him to get a little more information on that, okay? Because right now, like I say, you're asking a lot of questions, which is good. You do need to ask questions. But as far as what you're trying to do here, why don't you talk to somebody who's in your age group who's doing the same thing and can give you some more information exactly what it is you'd be missing there. Because what we have here is not really a lack of willpower, I don't think. I think we have a basic thing that black folk bring, a lack of confidence and a lack of assuredness about it. And more people will talk you out of more money because of that than anything else.
Well, can I ask you one more? All right.
Hey, you can ask one more question and then I go on.
Is it the tone of the voice, too? Because I speak kind of low when I'm talking to somebody. It's not because I'm shy. Some people have been saying, you speak kind of low. You need to, roughen up the voice a little bit. Yeah, do you think it's kind of like that? How a lot of people get haggled.
Yeah, it's the way you talk. It's the way you. I mean, like I talk to you all. This is my voice, but when I talk to people on the phone, it's different. I don't talk to you all the way I do to my family. So there's a public persona, and then there's not. And you need to keep that in mind, that this is your business. And your customers are taking everything into account. Your body language, your voice, your vocal language, your expression, are you projecting? They take all that into account, and they will judge you accordingly. But number one is, you know, don't be, the worst thing that you can do is fumble for your words. You knew why they came there. Yes, I heard you do videography. Yes, I do. What kind? No, what kind do you need? Or what do you need it for? That's the question you want to find out. You don't go down your list of what you do. They came to you. I can't help you if I don't know why you walked through my door. What kind do you need? Because if you're trying to film Avengers 2, I can't help you. You just want a wedding. I can help you. So what are you trying to film? And I will tell you if I do it. They tell you, okay, I'm trying to film this wedding. No, that's not a problem at all. How big is it? What kind of what church is it going to be at or whatever? How many people are you expecting? Oh, we're expecting 300 people. Okay, that's going to cost you $1,200. See what I mean?
Okay. That's how you say it. Okay. Now I get it. That's how you say it. All right.
Yeah, I mean, these are not your buddies. These are not your friends. And every minute you spend on the phone with them, that could be a minute your camera could be rolling and making money. Why are we doing this? Friends, these are my customers. And I treat them like customers. You want to know why my program is not in trouble with females dropping videos talking about he tried to do this, that, and the other with me? Because these are not my friends on the phone. These are not my buddies. These are not my girlfriends. These are people I met online for the most part. And I treat them accordingly.
Yeah.
We as black people need to learn to separate business and personal. We need to learn how to do that. On all levels. The only time we want to do it is when white folk bring us into their business. We need to start incorporating all those skills and all those rules that they told you at their business. You need to start incorporating it for yourself. Because the rules don't change. It's just who it benefits is what changes now. Now following those rules benefit you 100% instead of you having to split the profits with him.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, you're right. I hate that.
I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Those were some great tips, and I'll use those. I'll contact Quentin on some more tips, too, so I can get myself out of the moderate level and get up to the expert. So start groundbreaking, doing some groundbreaking work. All right.
Thank you very much for checking in with us, brother. Appreciate it.
All right.
Let's grab another couple of callers here. Caller from 718, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 718, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First,
what's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Karen from New York. Black First,
hello.
Brother.
Hello, Karen from New York. Have you called him?
Karen
before?
From the Bronx, yes.
Oh, yes. Okay, it took me a minute. I was going to say, wait a minute, I've heard of you before, kid, because it's been last summer.
Yes. And you're blowing up, and I'm happy about that. I needed to call in because of the credit situation. I had that situation myself where somebody called me with old debt, and I got scared because I keep my credit tight, and
were they calling you with your old debt or their old debt?
Well, I didn't know. They called me from an address I lived at, and so I thought, oh my God, did I leave that phone on and somebody came in and used it? And I panicked and I paid it. And I don't know if you remember, I work in a courthouse, so I went and spoke to some attorneys, and they told me, you fool. You should have never paid that. You know, you have to check the rules for the state, and you don't owe them if the debt is this much old. And I checked it, and I was a fool because I paid them. But I'm scared about my money, and I don't want to owe anybody. So I paid them, but I didn't have to. So I want to tell everybody, if anybody ever says that you owe them money, and it's you have to check your state and what's called old debt. And past a certain amount of time, you don't have to pay them. You can just send them a letter and say, look, this is old debt, and I don't believe I owe you. Send me the paperwork. And they have to respond. And if they don't respond, you don't have to pay them.
Well, what it is usually, I mean, it's usually things will fall off your credit report in 7 years. The only time that you need to be concerned is if a judgment is entered against you.
Right.
Now, if somebody goes to court and gets a judgment, that's a different matter. That's right. Another thing that's not going to go away. A judgment is not going to go away. But as far as anything else, as long as it's not a government agency that's done it to you, as long as
right.
it's not a government agency that did it, technically speaking, the clock is running for 7 years. And then after that, it's going to fall off. It's not so much that it goes away, it's that they can't really, the credit agencies don't want to hear it anymore. So that's as long as it stays something active. But once again, what we said there before, you need to check on it and check to see if you can get them. Like I said, you call the credit reporting agency to do that. That's one thing. If somebody is calling you, hounding you about debt, yeah, you need to find out how long you've had it. And
right.
find out if a judgment, the first thing you need to find out is, has a judgment been entered against you? As long
right.
as they don't have a judge that says you owe this, you don't really owe it. I mean, you do, but the credit reporting agencies will say you owe it now. As long as nobody with a gavel said I owe this, at that point, it is open to negotiation.
But it's like a new business. It's like these
yes,
people have this business that they get this information and they're calling you, and
understand
I'm
something.
Weird,
they
like,
are sales. They are salesmen. Okay.
Right.
I've got people who do debt collection in my family. Now you all hear the way that I talk to you. Now can you imagine that on your phone demanding money from you?
Yeah.
And by the way, one of these guys has a deeper voice than me. Yes, this is Mrs. Johnson.
Yes, it is.
You understand, ma'am, that you owe us $15,000. Who is? Don't worry about who this is, ma'am. Understand, you work at Park Place Elementary, don't you?
Yes.
Yes, we've already contacted the principal to find you. That's why we know you work there. Now, we left a note at the office that we are intact credit reporting that wants to speak with you, man. Why have you been dodging us?
Oh,
you understand
no.
You, your brother, your friends, your mother. We can garnish your wages. We can take your taxes. We can put a lien on your property.
Oh,
now,
God.
Would you like to pay this now, or would you like to pay
yes.
this down at the courthouse, ma'am?
How much?
So, that's, like I say, I mean, I know this because, A, it's
yeah.
not the family business, but I've seen it enough times, and I've worked sales for some of the largest corporations in this country, and as you know, right next to every sales department is the billing department.
Yeah.
So, like I say, I mean, it's just, imagine that. These guys are salesmen. Their job is to get you to pay, because he does not get paid if you don't pay. And he is going to say, I've seen guys do some absolutely unscrupulous stuff. Some stuff that was illegal, and you have to be careful about that.
Yeah.
Because if they record a phone call and you do something illegal, like tell them that there's something that you can do that you cannot do, that's a different matter. If, like, their place of business or their job, if the employer tells you not call again, you can't call it again.
Right, exactly.
So did you see the way that I phrased that? I said, understand something. I've already contacted your job. I can call them every single day if I want to. That depends on whether or not they're smart enough to ask their manager to tell you to stop calling. See what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's no law and there's nothing that says that I can't sit here and tell them I can keep calling you and there's nothing you can do to stop me. Well, they're right. There's nothing they can do to stop me from picking up the phone. But they can prevent me from contacting this business.
Right.
Things like that. So like I say, I mean, I was an aggressive salesperson, and if I had ever done debt collection, understand, I'd be getting 80% of my account.
Yeah, I
would
have paid you.
I would be getting 80% all damn day. And guess what? I'm not the worst you could possibly run into. I've met people all I've met some dudes a lot worse than anybody in my family. So what I'm saying is, don't let these guys get a hold of you like that, because they can be very intimidating, and that's the thing. They have to be intimidating on the phone. They have to make you think that you are going to die, that there are going to die, or bombs are going to, babies are going to get dismembered in the middle of Wall Street. Do you want the babies to get chopped to pieces? I think you should pay this bill. I think you should pay it right now. How much I paid? I mean, all of it. Do you want all of the babies to live? Well, then you need to pay all of it.
But I was younger before the rules came in as far as debt collection, and they would call the house. My mother was a spendaholic, or whatever you call it, and they would call and say, we're going to come and take everything from you. So that's why I have a paranoia about it, because I was traumatized when I was younger, and I just paid them. I paid them $500. And I learned after I went online and I checked, I didn't have to pay them anything because it was so long ago, it was old debt. I didn't have to pay them anything. So I just want people to check.
That works
for
on
your
older
state.
Women. That works
yes.
on older women. When I say by unscrupulous, for me, it was big in sales. It was big game hunting for me. I like going
yeah.
after younger people. Older mm-hmm. people are the ones who get taken advantage of the most because they have so much going on in their lives, especially like if they got their credit together and stuff. They will
mm-hmm.
pay anybody who threatens to shake them down because it took them 20 years to get their credit straightened out, and they're not trying to see it get blown up in one day. And you
right.
threaten to do something to them, and they're like, oh, man, I could be put back in that position all over again. I'm too old to have that happen. How much do you need again? And off they go. Now, a younger person's going to be like, hold up, cuz, hold on, whoa. Who are you again? When was that? I lived where? That's my baby mama. I'm not paying no bills for her. Well, mm-hmm. you need to contact her about that. My name was on it. She was the only one watching damn TV. I'm not paying this. So, like I say, a younger person would actually sit there and argue, whereas older people will be like,
yeah.
maybe I did forget this. I don't want
yeah.
trouble. Let me pay this off. And
yeah.
debt collectors take advantage of that all the time. If it sounds like a little old lady answering the phone, they are going to hammer her. What they think a hammering grandma is nothing. They think nothing of it.
Well, they got me.
Well, we're going to let folks know that to ask questions. Ask questions. Don't just take it for granted. Anybody
I mean, but
walks up to
they don't give
money.
You a chance to ask. They don't give you a chance to ask questions. They're like, well, if you pay this much, you owe this much, and if you pay this much, we can forget about it. And you just, well, I just wanted to get rid of it. And I'm at the
yeah,
point.
Yeah, but you wanted to get rid of it without a further conversation. That was the problem. Let me find out a little bit more about this debt before I give y'all anything.
Especially for $500.
The only time that there is no
yeah.
further conversation is after the judge just swung the gavel. Now, at that point, there's no further conversation. But as long as he hasn't shown up with a court summons, the negotiations go on. Let me find out exactly what I need to do. So their job is to make you think you got to pay it all right then. That's their job. His job
yeah.
is to collect.
Yeah.
His job is to make you think it's going to be the end of the world if you don't pay this right this moment. And to be totally honest with you, if I ran a debt collection service, I want that guy on my team. Hey, it is what it is what it is.
It was a lady TBA.
I want that. Oh, if she's good at her job, because they don't have the option of deciding what customers they call. But me personally, I'd rather have the females call the guys than the guys call the females. As a man, I'm going to knuckle you down. You are going to pay me. As a female, you're going to pay me. And as a female calling a guy, I would sit there. When females call a man, she needs to sweet talk him. Start challenging. Here's a debt collector gets a female debt collector gets a male. Start challenging how much money he makes. Start challenging his ability to pay bills. Start challenging his ability to do that. Talk to him nice when you first start talking to him and him to start tricking his money off. Mm. The most effective female debt collectors are not the ones who try to hammer their customers. It's the ones who finesse it and get him to start tricking his money off. Get him to prove to you how much money he, that money ain't a problem, mommy. Get him to prove that to you. Once he starts talking like that, get him to prove that. For a female, you need to prepare yourself for two phone calls, not one. Get a little bit today and come back next week and tell him how big and strong he is for paying that $50. Now let's see if we can get
$300.
Mm. I didn't know you could actually say that like that. Baby, I told you, there's no money thing. I was just hitting a few scrapes at first, but we getting things back on track. Well, look here. If you paid $300, I wouldn't call you back for a few months here. We can just let that go with that. Because now that I see that you can do that like that, well, I don't know. What are you saying? Money's tight again? No, baby, ain't nothing like that. No, it ain't no thing. No, I have it to you right here. Ain't no problem. That's what I knew. I wish my baby daddy paid bills like you do. Ain't got no baby daddy. Doesn't matter. That's not his business. Now he's off trying to prove something to you. I would call him as nice and syrupy sweet as possible. And get him to prove that he's not a deadbeat like your baby daddy is. The money start flowing.
Well, needless to say, after that, I started getting more calls from people who said I owed them money from way back when. And I just started writing the letters. And I don't get those calls anymore. I just want people to understand that you can challenge it, and it does work. And that's my concern when I heard the brother talking about old debt that you owed people and your credit reports and all things like that. And you should challenge it. You should always challenge it. Because
right.
It
That's
works.
What I was telling me. If you're going to rebuild your credit, two rules, knock off and pay off. Knock off
right.
what you can, pay off what you have to.
Right.
And that's basically the two rules. It starts there, knock off and pay off.
Can I go back to your $4 million payoff where
okay.
you started?
I was hypothetical now. I'm not throwing the money like that.
Yeah, hypothetical. Let's go on hypothetical. $4 million. I'm here in New
you
York.
You owe money to folks. You owe money
no,
to me,
I don't owe any money to anybody. I'm good. I have a good credit and everything. But $4 million, what I would do, I would open up a theater here in New York, a black-owned theater / convention center. It would be small, but it would be black-owned. That's what I would do. That's what I would love to do here in New York. I just think it's awful that when we have these black gatherings that we go to the Jacob Javits Center. That bothers me. That's what I would want to do.
Wow. I don't know where, in all honesty, though, Karen, where in the world would you be able to get a piece of real estate for $4 million to build commercial property in New York?
In Mount Vernon.
Ooh.
In Mount Vernon, because there's space, there's not a lot of, you know, high-end commercial things, but it's close to transportation, it's close to the main arteries as far as what do you call those the travel, the trains and the Hutchinson Parkway in New England, Mount Vernon. And there's a lot of black people there. My son lives there right now. So I'm looking at it all the time because I'm on it as far as putting my money aside and saving up a year's salary. I'm on it. I'm trying to, you know, is what you're saying as far as I feel really bad because I'm an older generation, and I feel really bad because my kids are out there and they're trying to make stuff happen for themselves, but I'm really trying to save that money and put that stuff aside. So at least, I mean, not for my kids, but my grandkids could have something and make something happen. I don't know if it's going to happen here in New York, but I got to do something.
Mount Vernon, I'll keep that in mind because I was thinking about the land costs alone. But then again, maybe it's because I spent most of my time in Midtown Manhattan. I don't think you could buy a bus bench down there for $4 million.
No,
I mean that literally. I don't think you could buy a bus bench for $4 million. That much land, because I was sitting there next to the old General Motors building, and I'm like, okay, they paid $3 billion to you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking at like, all right, I am so in over my head down here. So
we all are.
$50 for 2 hours of parking. I should have threw the damn attendant in the trunk and just made a run for it when we left. That would have been cheaper. It would have been cheaper to try to fight the charges.
Yeah.
I'll let you have the last word, sister.
Black first. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Karen.
All right, knock it off. But definitely glad to hear from you here, Karen. And don't be such a stranger here. We want to hear from you more often, okay?
Thank you.
You take care now.
All right. Black first.
Black first, sister. Thank you. $4 million.
I like to say not everything stays in the report for 7 years. Some things stay for 10.
That's very
I have utility bills from the Northeast that I tried to dispute, and I said, it's been 7 years. They said, no, ma'am, utilities stay for 10 years. I was like, oh, my God. And not only that, the clock doesn't start when you stop paying the bill. The clock starts when it's reported. So if you turn the service off in 2009 with a balance, but it doesn't get sold to the credit, the collection agency of choice for another year. When it's reported in 2010 is when the clock starts, not in 2009. Pay something off in full. You please get a letter from the company and stick it in your filing cabinet, because you never know. Some people might get a hold of old information, like what happened to Karen, and then start calling you.
Right. I also think you can fax it to them also.
Yeah.
I also think you can fax information to the credit reporting agencies also. So, and definitely keep up with that kind of thing. When you do pay your debts off, don't just take it for granted that they're going to keep up with your records for you, because that's one of the worst things you can do.
Absolutely.
Let me see if I can take another couple of phone calls here. Caller from 702, you're on live with the Black Channel. Last try, caller from 702. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, 702 is apparently talking to Aunt Esther. I don't know. Caller from 949. You're on live Black Channel. Wow, really? Are we doing this? Caller from 949. Wake up. The mothership is calling you. Okay, caller from 949 has called us from the pneumonia wing of the ICU. Brothers and sisters, if you got tuberculosis, don't call in. I mean, just listen through Ustream or something. But if you're tubercular, really, what you want me to do about it? Caller from 585, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, this is a Black brother from Rochester, New York.
What's on your mind, brother?
I just called in because I saw you had a topic about can you be bought. I feel like most people can be bought for the right price.
And the real problem is that most people do not know that they have a price. They just automatically assume that they don't have a price. And that's what I was starting off by saying is that when they put the numbers in front of your head, you don't know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. I got blocked the other day. It was a mistake. I didn't repost the link. I actually fell asleep, but that's why I didn't repost it.
That's rather odd.
AKA Josh. Yeah.
Hello, Josh.
Yeah.
I don't think Josh. I don't know if you got blocked. You might have gotten unfriended.
Yeah. That's probably what happened.
Yeah, if you can still see my timeline, you're not blocked.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Okay.
But
I don't play about that.
No, I really did fall asleep. I mean, I would have. I tried to actually call in, but I don't know. I didn't have a good internet connection, so that's why I called in through the phone.
Okay. Well, just send me another friend invite. I'll accept it.
All right. Sounds good. About that whole being bought thing, do you think like $1 million, do you think that will be worth it to then flip it like you were talking about the other day? Or is it not even worth it?
Well, that's really going to depend on what they want you to do for the $1 million.
Right.
That's the real question. It's not can you get the money. The question is, what do you all want for the money?
Yeah. I noticed Dave Chappelle, I remember he talked about the whole dress thing, and I don't think he really wanted to do, I don't know, I guess he felt like that was giving away like a piece of himself, and he was just like, he'll walk away from, you know, doing stuff to like really make himself look too foolish or like too much like a clown.
What you do on video is your legacy.
Absolutely.
What you do on recorded media is your legacy. That's what people will remember you for. And the real question is, can you live with the legacy that you're about to create?
Right.
I don't even think that Kim Kardashian is happy about the legacy that she created for herself. I don't even think that. I don't even think that's the case. I just think that people are so willing to sell themselves before they even think it over. But they didn't realize that they could be bought until somebody put the actual real figures in front of them. Now they realize they could be bought.
She's coming up now. I mean, I'm surprised she got somebody to wife her, but, I mean, that's just...
Well, the real problem. The real problem is now you've got kids, but your legacy is your legacy. I don't care who marries you.
Right. Because it's not going to go away.
And is he really who she wanted to marry in the first place? She's Armenian.
Question.
Why is it that she never tried to look up a Hispanic or Latino male?
I'm not sure.
You go,
I mean,
black men talk her up all the time. You don't see white men doing it like that.
A white man talked to her sister, though.
Okay. So
yeah.
You think that counts?
No.
You think that counts for her? She gets points because her sister got a white man to talk to her? And by the way, is it a white man on their level?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He's just like another cast member on the show, basically.
Exactly. What I'm saying is that Kanye West is on a higher level than Kim K was.
For sure.
But does she qualify for a white man in a similar position? Does she qualify for that anymore?
No. Wow.
There might have been a time she did, but who is going to want to be Mr. Kim Kardashian? I don't care how much money he's got. Who wants to sign up for that?
Plus, she done got ran through, so that's another thing.
Well, you know, now that's going to be a different matter. I take issue with that little part of it there. Define ran through.
Well, I mean, she was on tape for one thing, and then I can name off at least five people who who went through her. But, I mean,
okay.
I guess that's
now you're saying five people who went through her. So what you're saying is that if you slept with five men, then you're run through.
No, because it's more than that, though. It's just
okay.
It's at least
How many constitutes? I'm asking you to define run through. You said five
okay.
men ran through. You said five. So are you saying now? Okay, that's not enough.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Ran through has to be at least 15 to 20.
Okay, so you're saying that she slept with 15 or 20 men.
For sure.
Okay, you're sure that Kim Kardashian slept with 15 to 20 men?
Well, I don't have the facts. I really don't.
Okay, I'd say what you're saying is you have a feeling that she's the kind of female who would sleep with 15 or 20 men. And you know
yes.
what? You may even be right, but at some point, doesn't that just become libelous? We can't go around and say that kind of thing. We can say that she's the kind of woman who will sleep with men who got money. And as she probably, and that would guess that she probably didn't have any genuine feelings for them. She was just with them because they had money. You know what? That might be a fair assumption to make. But we can verify that she did sleep with Reggie Bush and Chris Humphries and Ray J and Kanye. We can verify that. But anything beyond that, we can't verify that.
That's
so like
correct.
I said, she's done enough janky stuff that we can indict her for what she's done. Understand something, though. If you consider 5 or 10 men to be run through, then understand you're probably including your mom in that number, too. And I'm not trying to be crude, and I'm not trying to be difficult. What I'm saying is that these men tend to sorely underestimate what females do. They have a lot more access to sex than we do. A lot
well, I understand
more.
That's
why they do the majority of the cheating. So what I'm saying is that if run-through constitutes as a numerical figure, and if we say that anything over 5, the alarm goes off, at that point, we got to start asking questions of everybody around us, your sisters, your mothers, your cousins, your wife, your daughter. You're going to start asking, get ready. That's going to be a hard pill to swallow because your daughter's going to be sitting next to you doing that Homer Simpson thing in her head. Yikes, I'm run through. Dad thinks I'm run through.
Well,
and
the thing is,
you can't figure out why she's been camped out in her room for the last 3 weeks.
Well, it's just my whole point is, it's just that I feel like today's sex is just, it's just so, it's just so much out there that it's nothing for a girl who's like, I'm 25, so a girl around my age to have like 40, we call them bodies. I seen it. I definitely seen it.
Well, I'm from Louisiana. They'll have a dozen bodies before they leave high school.
Oh, I believe it. I mean,
by the time they get to college, they certify. Definitely got at least a dozen. And so, like
yeah.
I say, I mean, that's something to consider. In Kim's case, people keep throwing around the run-through label when they really just mean she recorded herself on video. Well, let's just keep it 100% real. Most black females got a sex video, too. At least some photographs on somebody's cell phone. Can we just be all the way real about it? So
sure.
if that is what constitutes slutty, and I'll even sign off on it, then most females constitute that. Now, the female you meet is going to deny it. She is going to lie. There's no way in the hell she's going to come out the gap and tell you, by the way, there's 2 videos of me out there somewhere. But they promised me they would never show them to anybody. But there's 2 videos of me out there somewhere.
Right.
So we need to be very careful about that. If Kim K is a hoe and a slut and run through sleeping with 5 guys over the course of, what, 5 years? If that's what constitutes run through, wow, what do we do about all these females on Facebook swapping out 2 dudes a year?
Right. I mean, I understand that. I mean, 5, that's not too much. I mean, we got to also think about the time frame of the 5 or, you know, we're just talking about other things. But I understand what you're saying. I mean, 5 is normal, I guess. I don't know. I mean, in my opinion. I don't know. But pretty much.
Well, like I say, I just want everybody. I just want to be fair about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, I just want to be fair about it and whatnot, because we need a concrete set of rules that, you know, we can't just have it be. And I know everybody's got their own opinions about what they can tolerate. Some
right.
dudes ain't got a problem taking a chick that got 20 bodies and she's 24 years old. Some dudes don't have a problem with that. It's going to be up to you as far as what you can tolerate. Some dudes, that sex video was enough for them. You know, all you can really do at this point is say, I better not ever find one.
Right. I mean,
it's not
my
like
whole
can,
thing
it's
is...
It's not like you can take it away, you know, ahead of the fact. You can't that.
Well, I mean, the way I figure it is, you're never going to get a straight-up answer anyways. Like, you're never going to get the true answer, so I don't even ask anymore. It's just, you know, how many kids do you got, really? That's the question. Chances are you got two, at least where I'm from. You're about 22.
No, that's everywhere, man. Man, that's
yeah.
everywhere. Hey, it's an epidemic. It's Ebola out here, man.
True.
70% single rate for the female. That's all you need to know right there.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't want any kids until I at least can, you know, just have a... I don't know. I just want them to be good. I don't want them to be, like, struggling. People think because they got the kids in New Jordans that they good, they kid is straight. I mean, like, that don't mean nothing. It's worthless. I mean, I like Jordans.
Well,
and everything,
that's,
but, I mean,
they don't have a concept of family, and because they don't have a concept of legacy, they latch on to, well, I bought my kids some shoes. That's just taking care of your children's bodies. That's not raising your children. So they don't have a concept of family on that. Well, thank you very much for giving us a call here, brother. Please do check back with us in here again. I'll try to get two or three more calls, and then we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. Caller from 720, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 720, you're on live with the Black Channel, or have you been abducted? Okay, caller from 720 has been accosted. Caller from 718, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, is 718 playing on my phone again? I'm going to have to see about removing them also. I'll take one more here. Caller from 347, you're on live with the Black Channel. Melissa, are they just handcuffing them or abducting them as they call in?
Apparently.
Department of Homeland Security? Really, y'all? Now, this is another reason that we as black folk can't get anything done. We got too many people out here. Saturday night, they start tripping their mollies. They start getting the soap and off they go. I'm going to call him tonight. What are you going to tell him? I don't know, but I'm calling. Caller from 949, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 949, seriously? Okay, if caller 949, caller from 949-208, you're on live with the Black Channel. Last try for caller from 949-208-1145, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Just listening.
Okay.
At least no one's strangling cats tonight.
Well, yeah, at least we don't have that going on. Matter of fact, we'll have to find out if we got that there. I'm going to try to get, like I say, I haven't even checked with her to see if anybody has reached out to her yet. If nobody has, I'm going to tell her it's the damn cat. Nobody is lined up to take possession of a cat lady, okay? Not trying to have it. We're going to get somebody for her, assuming she gets rid of the cat. We're going to get somebody for Stephanie. We're going to get somebody for you at some point. No, let's not do that.
No.
Let's not do that. No, let's not, because you have a smart mouth. I don't want to.
I am not.
You are too. You all should see some of the stuff that she says sometimes. It is just atrocious. It really is.
It's genius.
It's genius, is it?
It's not atrocious.
So up here and she gives some people some credit score advice. Next thing you know, she's a genius.
No, I'm there. I'm not.
Oh, this time I thought you had to make money. I didn't know. I could save myself a lot of trouble. Hey, I'm a genius. Well, you know, hey, it's how to get your FICO score.
I don't say atrocious things.
Hell.
And I'm in a smart mouth.
Hey, better a smart mouth than a dumbass.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Well, I hope everybody's learned something from this so far here. I didn't want to do anything if people couldn't learn from it. So maybe they had an opportunity to think about that, as well as to think about how much are you really worth? Because that's the other thing that this comes back to. We don't teach our children or ourselves what we're really worth. That's why people have the ability to buy our dignity. Because that was what Mimi really sold. She really sold her dignity. And when you're poor, unfortunately, everything starts getting a price. You, your dignity, your children, your family, your well-being, your peace of mind, everything starts getting a price tag on it. What's in your wallet? And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.